RockRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always liked the good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world.
How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. To the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Run
with your host.
Dear kitty. Dear kitty.
Got to say, please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Now, I've heard it said a few times by a couple of different people that maybe I have a big ego. As good as I am, I should have the biggest ego on the planet. Hell, after all, I am that damn good.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on. Turn it up.
Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home. Tell me where you yourself something cold, baby. Cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are indeed in the house, thanks to the song. And well, if you're joining us, you are joining us for the WrestleMania hangover. Yes, we are talking all things WrestleMania weekend. We will fill you in on everything that happens. Never joined us before, I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
That is I. We are here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network on GoWork.net, WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com. You can interact with us live at those respective places, or on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward, LINSWARD.
And you gotta check out the very fine folks over at YouTube.com/MBG1211 Wrestling Figure Wednesdays and PWMania.com TNAsylum.net. I think that gets everybody, doesn't it?
I think that gets everyone covered.
And by the way, no champagne, no loud music. I have a headache from just the spectacle that was WrestleMania, because I don't know about anybody else, but Monday morning I woke up, I had a wrestling hangover.
It was a WrestleMania hangover. Cause,
I mean,
God, that weekend, that entire weekend, something like 11 hours of wrestling content. Whew.
Yeah. I mean, you from TakeOver to the Hall of Fame to the actual show itself, and of course Monday Night Raw, you can't forget that. It was just a huge weekend for everybody. And like we said at the very beginning, we're going to break everything down for you. We're going to be joined a little bit later in the show by Omega to talk all things NXT, so you don't want to miss that. But I say we jump right into the show of shows itself, because it needs to go first, WrestleMania.
It was a show that went on and on, my friend. Someone started it, but it just kept going on.
And it almost never ended. Oh my God.
It just almost never ended, really. It almost really never ended.
My only complaint about WrestleMania is it gets longer and longer every year. And that's fine, you know, because they start it really at 5. They have a 2-hour pre-show. The regular show is usually about 4 hours. And this year, that's what they did, except the show ran over by about 45 minutes.
Which is great. Which is awesome. Tell us that we're going to 12.
Yeah, because some of us have to get up and go to work the next day.
Let us plan ahead. Let us know the time frame.
Had I known that, I would have taken the day off.
Or at least had some more sugar.
Which I need more sugar now, but...
Well, the man on the stage, as we're doing the show, SmackDown aired, announced the Hall of Fame 1 hour version. He is full of sugar and full of energy. We're going to talk a little bit about him later, but yeah.
They're full of something, let me tell you that.
And one of them needed oxygen after this was over.
Both of them needed oxygen after this was over. They're blown up.
Yes, they are. But overall, before we dive into WrestleMania completely, this entire weekend was just great.
Yeah, this was fantastic. I loved most of it. Didn't like everything, but I loved most of it. I mean, as we sit here now, watching the replay of the Hall of Fame on USA, the Freebirds are being inducted into the Hall of Fame. It was the best speech by far. Hayes did not disappoint with his outfit.
No, he didn't. Fanny pack included.
Fanny pack included, ladies and gentlemen. Sequin cowboy hat, white duster coat, I should say, and a black fanny pack. Like only Michael Hayes can do.
Yeah, like only Michael Hayes can, in fact, do. But yeah, overall, this weekend was tremendous. Great wrestling, great entertainment, lots of surprises. It was a hell of a weekend. It was everything that it should have been. It was WrestleMania weekend. And the main event of the whole thing was WrestleMania, and it started at 5 p.m., and it's like people had trouble getting into the building.
Yeah, due to extra security measures, people had trouble getting in.
And a little bit of Wi-Fi trouble with the tickets. It was like, oh, they can't connect to the computers. Oops. A little bit of issues. So not a lot of people saw this first match, but it was Kalisto and Ryback for the United States title. The match itself was just okay, thinking about it. It's like, okay, it was a match. Ryback no-stilled a lot of Kalisto's offense because he's the big guy, and Kalisto's the little guy, so a lot of his offense wouldn't hurt him. And it was a match. It happened, and yeah.
I kind of felt really bad for them because they're in that awkward 5:30 spot on the pre-show where it's people are just coming into the arena. They're not a lot of them are in the arena proper itself, so no one's really watching the match. Then the people at home, it's at 5:30. WrestleMania starts at 7, so it's like a lot of people, me included, because I had to go back and actually watch this match later, went to get food or were making dinner or something like that so you could be ready for the main show. So it was really kind of an awkward spot for them. I felt pretty bad that they were where they were, but it was an okay match. It was there. It wasn't meant to be a barn burner. I don't think they tried to really make it anything spectacular. No. And that's not a slight at them. It's you're on the WrestleMania pre-show at 5:30. Nobody's really going to see it, so it doesn't really matter because that portion of the pre-show was on the network only.
Yeah,
it wasn't on USA.
No, it wasn't. And this one sort of, because of the issues with the tickets and getting people into the building, they had to push this match back. So I think they actually cut some time from this match. I think they may have cut a couple minutes from it because when this match aired, it was like 3 minutes before they went to USA Network. So they had to get them out of the ring and then reset and go back on USA. So instead of starting at 5:30, it started like 5:40-something, which was great because I just walked back in the door and the match was about to start. It was like, fantastic. I got home just in time to see the matchup start. But yeah, the finish was good. Kalisto retained the United States title. It did not help the United States title this match at all.
Mm-mm.
I don't think in the last two title defenses has helped this belt because they haven't treated Kalisto like a champion. They're treating him really like a little guy, and he should be treated a little bit more than just a little guy, if that makes any sense.
Oh, I agree.
And wow, they really did cut this speech. Cause,
well,
I'm just saying, they feel like they just came on the stage.
They kind of did. I mean, basically, they cut the kids out. They cut everything out because there was that really awkward pause after they got done speaking where it's like, oh, okay, they're done, you know? And for the Freebirds went 45 minutes at the Hall of Fame, y'all.
Yeah.
At least 45 minutes. So they basically cut about a half hour out of the speech because they cannot air the stories they told on
no.
the Hall of Fame on USA.
No, they really can't. So Kalisto picked up the win, getting back on track. Kalisto won. We all got that one right except for the 8-Ball because the 8-Ball decided to pick the big guy. And, well, the big guy lost. So take that, 8-Ball. Then we then head to the USA Network, and it was Team Total Divas versus Team Bad and Blonde, which featured, let's see if I can get these off of memory, Brie Bella, Paige, Alicia Fox, Natalya, and Eva Marie, King Kim's favorite, taking
I'll read everything.
All red everything. He loves some all red everything. You should just see his office. It's just filled with posters. Anyway, their opponents were Naomi, Tamina, Summer Rae, Emma, and the debuting Lana in her in-ring debut for WWE. She was a little awkward. Not gonna lie. She was a little awkward in the ring when she got in there. She didn't embarrass herself, but she was a little awkward. I don't think she's not used to taking bumps or anything. So she got in her offense. Really didn't take a bump. Maybe taking one bump. That was about it. This match was actually pretty decent, all things considered. When you think back to the match, it was a nice tribute to the Hart Foundation with Paige and Natalya with the Hart Foundation clothesline. There was one point Lana was actually calling out Brie, and it's like, you don't call out Brie. Brie was able to get in there, she did her Daniel Bryan kicks, everyone hit their finish, and it was down to Naomi and Brie. And a nice roll through into the Yes Lock for the win. Team Total Divas win. And this was officially her last match for now for Brie Bella.
Yeah, just to correct what everybody's been saying, including us, Brie did an interview for WWE.com in which she let everybody know that she's not retiring. She's simply putting her career on hold for right now because she and Daniel Bryan want to have babies. So there is still a chance that at some point Brie could decide she wants to come back. But at the very least, she has signed an ambassador contract with WWE that allows her to do appearances and also continue on Total Divas.
And a nice touch after the match, Nikki Bella, in her neck brace, came to the ringside. They celebrated with the rest of the girls, and they celebrated Brie. They put Brie up on the shoulders. It was nice until they awkwardly cut to the crowd, and then it's like, oh, hey, yeah, that was Brie's last moment. But that was it was a nice touch. Again, like we said about 6 weeks ago, after Fastlane, give her her big win at WrestleMania. Let her go out on top.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think it was a wonderful send-off for Brie. They let her get the pinfall. They let her celebrate. They had Nikki come out. I mean, it was very, very touching, great moment. And, you know, she deserves a send-off. I think a lot of people were upset that she didn't have a moment on Raw. And truthfully, she didn't need the moment on Raw because I think that would take away from what she did the night before, because she had the big send-off, and also they're saving it for Total Divas.
Yeah, so.
You know, and it's like for her to come out and say, oh, well, I'm not really done, and then her have the big send-off on Raw, it's like, well, but you just, yeah. So, you know, I think she will get the send-off that she deserves when they get to that point. I don't think she's at that point yet.
Because
I think they're trying to do something special with it.
And because, again, the way she's phrasing it, she hasn't retired, so she doesn't need the send-off.
Yeah, it's basically like, I'm going to go get pregnant now. Bye.
I'm going to knock out some babies and I'll be back, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe is the key word there. But yeah, I mean, good match. I have to say, congratulations to the sewing department for all the jackets and capes and gear in this match.
they all were decked out.
Lana's jacket, on point. Just saying, Lana's jacket was sick.
You expect anything less from her?
Of course not, no. But, you know, I'm just saying, you expect this match to be a little bit more fashionable than any of the guys' matches because it's a women's match, right?
Yeah.
So, and you look at who's in there and you have some very fashionable ladies, and they did not disappoint at all. The only one I really didn't like was Eva Marie.
But
didn't really care for her robe. But everybody else, on point.
Then we had a major groundbreaking announcement. Lita was in the ring, talked about the legacy of the women in history. From WWE, from Fabulous Moolah, Mae Young, all the way down to Alondra Blaze, Trish Stratus, her bestie, and Jacqueline, the Hall of Famer this year. And, well, they went from one era to another, and now back again. The Divas era is no more. The Women's era is back again, as they've created the new WWE Women's Championship, modeled after the WWE World Heavyweight title. It contains 283 stones positioned on a striking white leather strap and a sleek metallic recreation of the WWE logo, which was constructed with assistance from Orange County Chopper of American Chopper fame. Now, not only will our female athletes compete for a new title, but they'll also be known as superstars, a status deserving of their history of extraordinary accomplishments.
Okay, so I have to talk about this, and it requires a sip of water for me to do it. This has had the most overwhelmingly positive reaction I think I've ever seen from the wrestling community, ever. Everybody was so excited and so happy to see the butterfly belt retired, and I honestly have to say I'm one of them, because I was never a fan of the butterfly belt. I thought it kind of brought the division down, so to see it go is great. To see that they now have a belt that is on par with the men's, and it's actually prettier than the men's because it's not pink, is awesome. The fact that they are no longer divas, they are considered superstars and are equal equal to the men in that right. Again, fantastic. It's a sign that the women's division is coming up in WWE and that it is viewed as a profitable commodity by WWE.
Yes.
Which is amazing. So it's, you can tell that all the work that Sasha and Charlotte and Becky and Paige and Emma and all the other girls down in NXT and up on the main roster, all their hard work has paid off. Because you know Lita was pushing for this. You know they were pushing for this. And they got it.
And Brie had a great tweet. I retired one day too early.
Yeah. Darn it, Brie. But it's such a great feeling because it's like that belt got unveiled and just the introduction it got and the response it got. It feels important. It feels big. It feels like it should. Because we've had conversations on this show where the NXT women's title feels more important than the Divas title. And now that's not the case.
No,
because they've hit that reset button and they've made that basically said, okay, the women's title is equal to the men's title. It is just as important. I just hope it stays that way.
Which is what you want. You want it to be equal to the men's. You want it to be on the same level. And over time, it might not be right there now, but it's so much time getting close to being equal. It's now gaining ground and sort of, okay, we're on the same page now. This is awesome.
And I'm kind of hoping that this is a sign that maybe they're going to give them other titles, like either tag titles or a junior title or something like that in the division, to where they don't just have one. You can have multiple titles in contention in the Divas division, just like you do the men's.
Yeah, once you get enough girls up there, once you fill out the roster a little bit more, because there's, what, 12 people at the moment?
Yeah.
Kind of need, I would say to get a second belt, probably about 20 girls, and I don't know if they'll ever get to that point.
I don't know, but I would eventually like to see Divas tag titles, because I think that could be fun. I mean, TNA did it for a while, and I thought it was relatively successful until they took it away. So I think they could do the same thing with the WWE Divas, because, you know, it's like you had natural tag teams like the Bella Twins. You had Tamina and Naomi, just to name a couple. You could do Sasha and Bayley and so on and so forth, where you create these girl tag teams, so when they're not in contention for the title, for the main title, you can have them in contention for either tag titles or another belt, so that way you're getting them on TV and it's just equally as important.
I agree. It would be something down the line. I could see it happening. They have enough women in the farm system. If you really want to put focus and really want, if you really want to make that effort, you could do something like that. And maybe just make it exclusive, like the SmackDown or something, where it's like, because on Raw, it's kind of hard to do it on both shows, but if you can make it something like, give them an exclusive belt on SmackDown, not saying that they couldn't use it on Raw, but I'm saying majority of the time the focus is on SmackDown, I would be okay with that.
You know, honestly, I would make it a focus on SmackDown and potentially NXT, where you could do a cross-brand thing.
That wouldn't be so bad.
Where it's, you have one title that goes across both brands, and then that way you have more options in terms of, well, if you want to do a tournament, because I can speak, you can bring girls up from NXT, or you can have girls come down to NXT. So you can have that sort of cross-promotional deal where it's people come up, people go down, and then that way people get exposure, which is what you want. And it brings attention to both SmackDown and NXT. Not that NXT really needs it after this weekend, but...
No, I agree. It's something down the line that could work. All right, moving on to that, because we have more Divas action to come on the show. Or I should say, women's action. It's no longer Divas. The Usos took on the Dudley Boys, and the star of this match was Bubba and his trash-talking, which was awesome. His trash-talking the Usos. But the match itself was just okay. It wasn't anything overly special. The Usos, when every time they would stop the table spots, would get booed. And the super kick to Devon was the finish. I was like, oh, that's the finish. Okay. You later find out why it was the finish, but it was like, oh, okay. Because after the match, the Dudleys grabbed the tables. They were setting up the Usos. The Usos stopped at more boos. Then they did the double splash through the tables for the victory. But it's like, I don't know, the match just sort of was there. Wasn't anything overly special. The Usos are sort of, Usos are running in place.
Well, the Usos don't have any real competition at this point. Threw him in with the Dudleys because they really don't have anybody. If you think about it, Kalisto and Sin Cara, the Lucha Dragons, Kalisto's defending the U.S. title, so, and I think Sin Cara was in the Battle Royal, so that splits them up.
Ladder match.
Oh, right, he was in the ladder match, right. And I knew he was in one of the multi-mans, I just can't remember what. You have the Matadors, who are extinct and are being repackaged as the Colognes. You have New Day, but you've done the Usos versus New Day 2 billion times. times.
Which is why, as we were talking before the show, it's like they may be rebuilding the tag division because, again, guys like the Usos and the New Day, they fought all the teams already. So it's like you need new feuds, you need new battles. And for the Usos, even if you think about the Wyatts, Usos and Wyatts went for a while too. So it's like you need something new. You need something new.
Yeah. So it's, you've seen the debut of Enzo and Cass on Monday Night Raw. We saw the debut of the Vaudevillains tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if the Revival the Revival isn't on their way soon. It looks like they've now gotten the women's division to where they want it to be. It's in a sound, secure place. So now they're turning their attention to the tag division to rebuild that back up.
Yeah, so that was the pre-show in a nutshell. I should mention, we all had Team Tall Divas. You had the Usos, the Apo had the Usos. I took the Dudleys. That one.
Doubter.
I know. I should never win against the Usos, but if it's the Dudleys, I figured they would get the win. I don't know. Now we go to the main show. The main show kicks off with the Intercontinental Championship ladder match featuring Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder, The Miz, Sin Cara, and Stardust. Who was paying tribute to his father.
It was adorable. He had yellow polka dots.
It's kind of awesome. We had a huge reaction for Sami Zayn. They were singing his song as he came to the ring. Just great.
Yeah. This was Sami's first WrestleMania. His music hit. The crowd exploded. He walked out. And you could clearly hear the crowd singing his music over his music at WrestleMania. So that had to be an awesome moment. 100,000 people were singing his song. And you could tell. He was like a little, holy crap right now.
There was a massive reaction for Kevin Owens.
Yeah, somebody's over.
And the WTF moment of the night went to Sin Cara. What the hell was he wearing?
Why you would decide to wear all white to a ladder match, I'm not entirely sure, because you saw exactly how dirty ringside was by the end of the night. I mean, he was just covered in dirt, and it was awful. It's like, oh, you went out and you ruined your pretty white tights.
He needs to talk to Bray.
Get the bleach.
Someone get the bleach. So, Owens and Zayn, who hate each other, just went right after each other right at the start of the match, which is just, like, perfect.
Bill sirens went off.
Mm-hmm. Sami got backdropped onto a ladder. Sami also did a flip dive through the ladder onto everyone, and then came back and did his lunge through the ropes into a DDT to Kevin Owens, which was awesome. Like, the dive through the ladder was just perfect.
Oh, it was fantastic.
There was a nice spot with Sin Cara. Yes, there was a nice spot with Sin Cara where he landed on the top rope and then the flipping senton off it. He caught himself, like he's falling off the ladder, steadies himself on the rope, and then does the flip senton. That was pretty sweet.
That was pretty sweet. I mean, it was sick. This whole match was sick.
We had the super kick party from one and only Dolph Ziggler, and I've said this once, I'll say it again, stop with the tuning up the band. A guy later did it better. Just saying. There was a double super kick by Owens and Ziggler, knocked each other out. We had the polka dot ladder, version 2 from last year. This time it's polka dot. I don't know the weird name he called it. I didn't write it down. Stardust has some weird name for his ladder.
It's the Starbird.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's the Starbird.
There's more to that, but I don't remember what
it was. Yeah, there's more to it, but I remember he calls it the Starbird.
Okay.
It was like the Starbird version 2 because he had the original one last WrestleMania for the ladder match, and it was all bejeweled and everything, and then Barrett broke it.
That he did. We had a nice frog splash from Owens onto Zayn on the ladder, which was nice. We had the Elbro, which is an awful name. It's Elbro. But it was a nice sick move by Zack Ryder for coming off the top rope onto The Miz with an elbow drop. Sin Cara got shoved off the ladder and sort of did a splash on the Stardust, threw a ladder on the ringside that looked like it hurt, but it was an awesome spot. We had Owens and Zayn battling on the top of the ladder. Owens thumped to the eye of Zayn. Zayn got a dragon, like a head. I wrote down dragon suplex, but I went back. It was like a half Nelson suplex that killed Owens.
Yeah.
That was the end of Kevin Owens on that one. Sami was going up, got knocked off the ladder by The Miz. The Miz is all alone. He has it. He has the gold in his hands. The whole world is in his hands until he gets shoved off the top of the ladder by Zack Ryder, and your new Intercontinental Champion at that point was Zack Ryder.
This was a great opener. I mean, absolute, great, fantastic, barn burner of an opener. Mm-hmm. Loved it. They went out there, they busted their butts for it, and this was the what-the-fuck shock of the night. It really, really was, because everybody was like, no, Sammy's gonna win, no, Kevin's gonna win, okay, then Miz is gonna win. Wait, Zack Ryder? What? Like, everybody was like, what?
Now, I will say...
And it was a what in the good way.
It was.
It was a what in the good way. Because it's like, what? Really? They're putting the title on Zack Ryder? He got his WrestleMania moment.
Did that really just happen? Apparently, going into the day, I noticed it was like, Zack Ryder's the betting odd favorite. It was like, wait, no. No. Yeah, it happened. He won. His father came in, celebrated. That was a cool moment. The two of them shared in the ring. That was awesome.
It was awesome.
So, Zack Ryder is your Intercontinental Champion. No one, and I repeat, no one had Zack Ryder. At one point, I thought Subway picked him. I was like, no, he didn't. And I asked him, I was like, no, he didn't pick him. So it's like, oh, okay. So, because, you know, if anyone would pick it, it would be Subway. Because, you know, that's how it rolled. We then move to AJ Styles, Chris Jericho, AJ Styles, WrestleMania. What? Did that really just happen? He was on WrestleMania.
And he walked out, and he was just, you could tell on his face, he's going,
here, I made it.
I made it. There was that moment that AJ was just admiring it for what it was, because he's in the sea of 100,000 people at the biggest show in wrestling. And it's, you know, you think about where AJ was, which he came from New Japan. I'm not knocking New Japan at all, but it's, you know, he's coming from smaller venues, smaller shows.
See, we did the math on Sunday. We were looking like what New Japan arenas would hold. They would hold like 20,000 people. So
that's a lot of people.
But this is this was 101,000 people officially in the entertainment number. We'll have the entertainment number later, because it's in my notes somewhere. But yeah, it was like almost 100,000 legit people in that building.
And you think about who had their WrestleMania debuts. Kevin Owens did, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, all three of Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha Banks. There were a lot of WrestleMania debuts on this show this year. Braun Strowman. You know, there were a lot of guys who were down on NXT, guys and girls, that made their WrestleMania debut on Sunday. That's pretty cool.
Kalisto.
That's another one, yeah.
So, it's just amazing how far the roster's come, and now we're going, yeah. But for AJ Styles, it was like a year ago, no, I ain't gonna happen. No,
totally not gonna happen. No, oops.
No.
And there he is.
These guys had a good match. It was Chris Jericho, AJ Styles. A little off a couple points, but for the most part, pretty good match. Fighting out submissions. Both men had to hit their submissions. It was the Codebreaker, and not the Codebreaker. The Walls of Jericho and the Calf Crusher. This was great finish. He hit the Styles Clash, 2 count, springboard for 50, 2 count, brainbuster, then sets up for the phenomenal forearm. It's hit with the Codebreaker. Chris Jericho is your winner in this one. One of the bigger surprise outcomes of the night?
I would agree with that. I think everybody was expecting AJ Styles to win just because it was his WrestleMania debut, but I guess, you know, some people have to win and some people have to lose. He still looked good in the ring, which there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think this was as good as some of the other matches that Styles and Jericho have had.
I think Fastlane was better.
I think Fastlane was a little better, but this was still a good match.
One person in our collective had Jericho, and that would be Rob.
Go Rob.
He's the only one who picked Jericho. Yeah, and this was a good matchup. It was the most surprising outcome of the night, Chris Jericho picking up the win, just based on how everything transpired on Raw the next night. You figure momentum would go in one way, but it's WWE, that's how they do things sometimes. And to their credit, they're keeping us off guard in some of these outcomes. So it's like, okay, I'm cool with it. The loss doesn't hurt Jericho. Or AJ Styles, rather.
No, because he's picking right back up and he's continuing on. So this is really the blow-off match for that feud. I mean, AJ Styles won the feud. So losing to Jericho at Mania doesn't hurt him really that much at all.
No, it really doesn't. By the way, you're listening to The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn's Word on the Twitter. Come to RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com, as well as Gerwick.net to be a part of the action. Zack Ryder was backstage and talked about this was the greatest moment of his life. And the cool thing is he talked about how years ago he got a picture of Razor Moon after the ladder match of WrestleMania 10. And he did, in fact, get his WrestleMania moment and the picture with Razor Moon later, with Razor holding his title. That was awesome.
That was awesome. That was pretty cool.
So, get your spoons ready, because we have a big old box of bootios on the way. So, it was a New Day and the League of Nations, and we legit had a big box of bootios. for WrestleMania entrance.
If you get a chance, go back or go out and find the screenshot of the box of Bootios and read the ingredients in it. It's hilarious.
Do you have it in front of you?
I do not, but if you stall for me,
I'll probably find it. Alright, I'll break down the match a little bit, and then we'll get into that. Apparently this was changed from a handicap match to a six-man. Again, this was a solid matchup between the teams. You had Wade Barrett around ringside, causing all kinds of chaos. Big E did a nice, his dive through the ropes onto three members of the League of Nations, which is nice. There was a double boom drop by Kofi, which was nice. In the end, the bullhammer and a bro kick, League of Nations picked up the victory on Sunday night.
So we have the Bootrition facts.
Okay, let's hear them.
So they have zero calories, zero total fat, zero saturated fat, zero trans fat, 100% booties, 100% dietary fiber. And this is, by the way, plain Bootios and with a half cup of unicorn milk.
Unicorn milk. That's the kicker right there, unicorn milk.
For your daily values, we have 33.3% of vitamin K, vitamin B, vitamin X, 0% negativity, and 100% unicorn horns, magic, tricep meat, trombones, clapping, power of positivity, friendship, twerking, dreams, tears of haters, hope, smiling, love, riboflavin, thymine, happiness, sweetness, rainbows. And it is made of excitement, tweets, the free bird rule, Michael Cole-isms, JBL's hat, sunshine, Howard Finkel's voice, Kofi sneakers, Francesca, boom drops, big endings, getting lost in the woods, uranium, stars, candy, up, up, down, down, VKM, Jim Johnston's grooves, lightning, swag, strength, Papa Shango's voodoo, tracksuits, turnbuckle pads, pumpkin spice, Santino's cobra, lucha masks, Socko, astronaut food, and a fresh coat of paint. And it's gluteus free.
I don't even know where to begin. I can tell Jim Johnston's grooves are in there, Papa Shango's voodoo, Howard Finkel's voice, Tears of Haters.
Yeah, the Tears of Haters is what got me. I was like, oh my god, I want to buy the shirt in the box just so I can put it on my desk at work. Because just, this is such a fun piece of advertising. It's like, oh yeah, I kind of want it.
That's great.
I want it just for the box.
Well, you can get it. It is at WWEshop.com. You can get it.
I know, but whoever came up with this, well done. That's awesome. But yeah, it was a huge box of Bootios, complete with Bootios. And fans were, I think they all got tossed to fans or something like that.
Something like that, I think so. You see pictures popping up now and then.
Of people getting, well, I know the League of Nations was kicking them out into the crowd, so.
So that's probably what happened. So, League of Nations picked up the win in that one.
Called it.
Yeah, she did. I had a new day, so did April. She picked the League of Nations. So the League of Nations, we're talking about how there's no three legends or team that could ever beat the four of us. So out comes the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, in gear.
We're going, Shawn. Shawn, what are you doing? Shawn, no. Oh, Shawn.
Put that shirt back on, Shawn. Shawn. Shawn.
Shawn.
Then Foley shows up. It's like, Mick.
Mick, no. Mick, sit down. Mick, no.
By the way, congrats to Mick Foley for losing like 40 pounds.
He looked really good.
And then the glass shattered and then Stone Cold Steve Austin came out. It's like, oh no, they're going to get in the ring. Guys. And they get in the ring and it's like they're pounding on them. Foley's hammering Sheamus really hard. Stone Cold is kicking the crap out of Rusev. Shawn had, Del Rio in the corner. Barry got taken out by the New Day. They drug him out. I had to watch it a second time and actually see that part of it. I was like, oh, there went. That's how Barry got taken out. So we had the Mandible Claw to Sheamus. We had Sweet Chin Music to Alberto Del Rio. And a Stone Cold Stunner to Rusev, who did the flip-flop out of the ring, which was great. And then Barry comes in the ring. He hits a claw, a kick, and a stunner. And then the bell would happen where New Day gets in the ring. Start talking to Shawn and Foley and Austin. Shawn's getting into it a little bit. Foley gets into it a little bit. And then Woods is trying to get Austin involved. And Austin's like, really? Really? Okay. Alright, alright. Austin starts getting into it a little bit, then flips him the bird, stuns Xavier Woods. This was great.
At first it was like, you were all too old for this crap. Go sit back down. And then it was like, oh, screw it. This is awesome.
It was awesome.
Because it's Sean in his gear, and you're like, oh my god, it's Sean. And then Mick came out. And then when the glass shattered, everybody was just like, done, done. Austin's back, done. Like, everybody lost it. It was just amazing.
6 years it's been since Sean had gear on. 6 years. 6 years.
And it still fits.
Still fits. And he was in shape, too.
Yeah, he was. He trained up for this.
Yeah, he did. This was a great moment. This was a WrestleMania moment. And everyone's like, oh my god, they beat up the League of Nations. Yes, they beat up the League of Nations. Oh my god, Woods gets stunned. So what?
It was probably the greatest moment of Woods' life.
Like, he was
to be really honest, I mean, when he got put through a table by the Dudleys, he's like, that was the best thing ever. So I can't imagine what his reaction was to getting a Stone Cold Stunner.
Right, he got to do kazoos with Edge and Christian. Now he got to get a stunner from Austin. It's great. They had a WrestleMania moment that they could show their kids all the time. Like, we were in a ring with Austin and Michaels and Foley, and it was awesome. It was great. It was a great moment.
It was fantastic.
Now it's time to go to Suplex City. No holds barred street fight. Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar. We had an anti-Suplex City shirt on Dean Ambrose, which was great. And this was a Brock Lesnar match. Dean would try to use weapons. Brock would suplex the hell out of him. More weapons, more suplexes. One point there was a low blow and a big dive. We had a chainsaw that got stopped. We had a ring bell. Dean had multiple chair shots to Brock Lesnar. More suplexes. We had a fire extinguisher. More chair shots. We had a diving chair shot. Brock did a German suplex on Dean, but actually ended up landing on the chairs, not Dean. We had F5 into a dirty deed for a 2 count. Barbed wire bat time. 13th suplex and F5 on the chairs. Your winner, Brock Lesnar. No real surprise. A little anticlimactic in some parts of it.
It was a little anticlimactic because I think people expected this to be a lot more violent, just given who was in the match, than what it actually was. Information is coming out now that supposedly Dean Ambrose tried to lobby for a more violent match and he was shot down. We did see weapons used. We saw chairs. We saw kendo sticks. The barbed wire bat did come into play. The chainsaw did come into play, but they never got used on Brock. But they were there, and they were represented. They were represented. But, I mean, I'm kind of with everybody else. This was a little bit of a letdown. They did a fine match, but it was a Brock match. And I get why it had to be that way, because you had the Hell in the Cell on the show. You had the main event on the show. You didn't want either of those getting stolen or upstaged by Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose. So they kind of toned that back. And also at the same time, they wanted to protect Ambrose.
From Ambrose.
I mean, that's probably the main reason why they told him no, is it's like, look, half the roster's hurt. We cannot afford to have anything happen to you. So no, you are not allowed to do anything stupid. And that's, you know, that's probably what it was. But I think also Brock probably wasn't keen on taking a lot of abuse in the match. I think Brock was just there to really do the match and get out of there.
Which is what Brock does. And I have nothing against it because, you know, and in the end, like, we talked about it. We broke it down last week. It's like, in the end, this Brock Lesnar, Brock Lesnar is the more important big picture person for WWE right now than Dean Ambrose. I know that's hard to, you know, take in for some people, but it's like, it's truthful. Brock Lesnar draws more money than Dean Ambrose does. Would a win for Dean Ambrose help him? Yes. But it's still Brock Lesnar. And they're waiting for someone else to hang the real big loss on Brock.
Yeah, Brock will have a loss hung on him soon. Hopefully Bray Wyatt. But probably not.
Roman. Roman.
Yeah, Roman. It's going to be Roman. It's going to be Roman, let's be honest. Yeah. I hold hope for Boo Boo Boo, but we all know it's going to be Roman. But yeah, I mean, it was what it was. It was decent. They tried really hard, but I am with everybody. It was a little anticlimactic. I'm not upset Dean lost because I knew Dean was going to lose. It's Brock Lesnar. There really isn't a shot in hell that Dean was going to win this match.
And in the end, nor should he have won.
But he had a really, really, really great showing. For the love of God, he took 13 suplexes.
Which they were actually putting up on the screen. They were showing the number.
Yeah, they had a suplex count, which is hilarious.
They also, they, but yeah, they, I think, go ahead. They also, before you go, they had, throughout the night, they were directing fans on chance, too, on those screens, which I found interesting.
They're trying to control the crowd.
They were trying some.
You know, where it's, okay, well, we're trying to get you to chant, so we're going to throw stuff up there and get you to stop chanting inane things like CM Punk. So, we'll throw a chant up there and see if you do it. But, yeah, Dean took 13 suplexes. He took a beating with a kendo stick. Brock got beat up a little bit with a kendo stick. He got smacked around with some chairs. I mean, it was a solid match for what it was. Could it have been more? Yes. Was it going to be more, given who was in it? Probably not.
It was not intended to be the show-stealing match of the night, but it was a fight. It was a street fight. And they both went out there and they beat the crap out of each other. And that's all you expect from these two.
And the reaction of the night goes to Heyman when he saw the chainsaw.
Yeah.
Because Heyman was like, holy crap, what did we get into?
What did we just sign up for? Can we back out of this? Is there a way out of this one? No, sorry, Paul. There is not one.
You signed up for a dance with the lunatic, and now you're going to get it.
So, in terms of picks, we both picked the Beast incarnate Brock Lesnar. The 8-Ball picked Dean Ambrose. But on that, I say we're about halfway through. I say we take our first break of the evening.
I'm with you. So when we come back, we are going to be talking about the other half of WrestleMania, because it's so big, it requires a break in the middle. And don't forget, later in the show, Omega will be joining us from Wild Talk Radio to talk all about NXT. You don't want to miss that. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
This ain't no home sweet home, it's a home sweet misery. They knew where we got here, they tried to put us away. But when they seen us walk down the street, they ran the other way. Bad Street, Atlanta, GA. Bad Street in Ohio, USA. Bad Street, nasty and hot. Food down the back, you had the battle you had got. Jumping, tonight there'll be a brawl. Old lady McDuffie, she don't give half a call. She might well call the Army or United States Marines, cause can't nobody handle this Bad Street scene. Bad Street, Atlanta, GA. Bad Street in the whole USA. Bad Street, nasty and hot. Further down the block you would battle in the gut. Zabisco, how am I doing? $70 can call it. They thought that they were hot. They thought that they were nasty. Couldn't make it down our block. Never forget it here. That ambulance I'll say. Someone should have told those boys about Bad Street USA. Don't you come look on this side of town. Cause this is where the free birds live and everything's going down. If you don't know by now, we always get our way. That's the way it is down here on Bad Street USA. Bad Street in Atlanta, GA. Bad Street in the whole USA. Bad Street, nasty and hot. Further down the block you went the pedal in. Good night, Dallas.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a dick bang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Why are you Gundam style over here?
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have.
Gundam style.
Not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm having a wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
This is Kane from WWE. And you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Hello, Friday. I've been waiting for you for a long time. You just saved me when my life came crumbling down. And I know you're gonna leave me. Hello, Friday. I've been waiting for you for a long time.
3, 2.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs, and the very, very fine folks over at Gerwick.net. You are just joining us. You missed one half of our WrestleMania hangover recap, because yes, this is the WrestleMania Hangover show, and you're just in time because we're sitting here watching the replay of the Hall of Fame as we do this show, and Sting just announced his official retirement from wrestling. So Sting is done.
It's sort of what we talked about weeks ago, where he, you know, TMZ got the report he was done, but then he denied it, and we were like, just wait, because someone let the cat out of the bag a little too early, and, well, there was, he let the cat out himself at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
no real surprise.
No real surprise, as we said a couple weeks ago. Huge congratulations to Sting on his amazing career. I hope he enjoys his very well-deserved retirement.
I would agree. And I'm just going to sit back, and I'm going to set it up, and I'm going to let you talk about the entrances first. But it's a women's championship match. Charlotte defending against Sasha and Becky Lynch.
Okay, women's title match. The very first title defense for the brand new title. The entrances. They made all three of these women look like the stars that they are. You had Becky Lynch come out. She's in full steampunk regalia. She's got the steam. She walks her out. You have Charlotte walk out in this amazing robe. It's beautiful. It's blue. She's glittering. She's gleaming. She's got the old title with her. Her father's with her. I'm getting to it.
You're getting to her robe? You're getting to her robe?
Yes, I'm going to get to her robe.
Okay.
Her robe is made of pieces of her father's retirement robe.
Yes.
which is so touching. And it was a good road for her. I liked it. I hope she kind of gets more. And I loved her gear. It was absolutely beautiful. I mean, it suited her so much better than her old gear.
I would agree.
Somebody went all out for WrestleMania. And then we get the boss. Sasha walks out. She owns it, right? She just looks amazing. But before Sasha can ever come out, well, she got a very special entrance because her uncle happened to be there. And her uncle is Snoop Dogg. So you had
her
Snoop
cousin.
Dogg.
Her cousin, not uncle.
Or I'm sorry, cousin. I'm sorry. Her cousin was there. I want to call him her uncle for some reason. I don't know why. But her cousin was there. Sorry, Sasha. And her cousin sings her to the ring.
He customized her song.
They need to remix that and have her come out to that. Oh, they kept the female part, but they had him throwing lyrics in between. And it was like, and he walks her down to the ring. He's holding her hand. And she's owning it. She looks like a million bucks. She looks like a star. All three of them did. This had such a wonderful big match feel. You could tell this was important. You could tell this mattered. This was not going to be a throwaway match on this show. And it wasn't. This was a fantastic match.
Now, when it came to entrances, which were there all awesome, there's one moment where Becky lost her hat, and then every entrance, like, someone needs to move her hat. Someone needs to move her hat. Someone needs to move her hat.
Yeah, Becky lost her hat in, like, the first 5 seconds of her entrance, and it just laid there on the stage. Like, nobody ran up and grabbed it.
No one ran up and grabbed it.
Because I don't think anybody saw it.
No one kicked it. It just was there.
Like, it just happened.
It was just there. It's like a spot in the entrance. She left her mark. She was great.
She was a part of everybody's entrance.
She was.
But yeah, this was, and they went out there with the intent to steal this show. A couple notes about Sasha's gear. She wore Eddie Guerrero-inspired gear, which, again, was really, really touching. But yeah, this was a fantastic match. If you want to watch one match from the show, this would be it. Okay, I have to talk for a minute. You have to deal with me for one more minute. But we saw, I think one of the funniest moments, at least for Rock and I, was we were sitting here watching it, and out of nowhere, Sasha does a frog splash. So the camera is focused intently on Becky and Charlotte, and then out of nowhere, random Sasha Banks. Not that I'm ever going to complain about a random Sasha Banks, but it was kind of this really funny moment. Like, where did she come from? It was absolutely hilarious. But just to kind of get you into the match, if you didn't see it, we had early pinfalls where they were trading off. A lot of false finishes at the start.
Yeah, don't try to read my notes. You'll never get through it.
I can try. I can fake it. We had Sasha with the Eddie Shuffle and then a frog splash by Sasha. So there's the random Sasha Banks mention right there. Mm-hmm. There was a very nice German by Becky to Sasha where Sasha had to, you know, the oh my face.
Keep going.
And then there was a big dive by Sasha onto Charlotte.
Which I thought she came up a little bit short, and then she did the flip into it. That was the big dive.
Yeah, she either came short or she changed her mind mid-move.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. But she did like a dive into a flip onto Charlotte, which led to Becky Lynch hitting the dive of the night onto Ric Flair, taking out Ric Flair to a tremendous ovation by everybody. Mm-hmm. Charlotte then hit a very beautiful moonsault to both girls outside the ring. We had double natural selections, both two counts. There was a drop kick by Sasha on Charlotte's shoulders. Or no, Becky hit the drop kick with Sasha on Charlotte's shoulders. There we go.
See, this is where I start, you know, rambling with my notes.
Yeah, you ramble. That's okay. There was a disarmer on Charlotte. Sasha broke it up. There was a bank statement. We had a figure four by Charlotte turned into a figure eight. Becky pulls Sasha out of the ring.
Great moment.
Like you do.
That was a great moment.
That was awesome because Becky's like, oh God. And she grabs Sasha and just yanks her out of the ring. Mm-hmm. And then we had Sasha get, let's see, where was I? And then we had chops all around. There was a pile on to Charlotte. There was a spear to Sasha. Then she gets stuck in the tree of woe. There was a suplex on Becky.
By Becky. That was a superplex by Becky with Sasha just hanging there in the tree of woe.
Yeah, which I've never understood the tree of woe. So just pull yourself up. A bank statement. Sasha's denied. Charlotte broke it up. And Sasha gets tossed out of the ring. Then Charlotte hits the figure eight on Becky. Ric Flair is holding Sasha back so she cannot break it up. Becky taps out, and your winner and still women's champion, Charlotte.
It's a great match. Match of the night.
Easily.
These girls tore the house down and went 16 minutes or something like that. Perfect amount of time. They did everything. They stole the show. They were important. Mentioned the entrances. They did everything I hoped they would do. They showed that they were important. They made the match important. They gave them the celebration. It was perfect. This match meant something. It was not a throwaway. It was probably one of the best women's matches ever at WrestleMania, if not the best women's match at WrestleMania. Some would say Trish and Mickey James. I think this one was a little better.
Trish and Mickey James was good. I think this one was a little better just from a storytelling standpoint and just from who was in it. And I'm not knocking Trish or Mickey James, but I think you have a little bit higher caliber of talent in this match than what you did in that one.
But to each their own. But again, this was a great match. This will go down in history as a monumental moment with Charlotte retaining the Divas title, transferring it over to the women's title. This was a monumental moment. Girls made history, and it was awesome. And you cared about this outcome. There's a lot of matches you don't... Okay, like the Usos, Dudleys, we didn't care about the outcome. This one you cared. You were kind of upset that shit. It's like, oh man, Sasha didn't win. Damn it.
Yeah, everybody kind of wanted Sasha to win. It was really disappointing when Sasha didn't win, but it's like, okay, well, I can't complain of who actually won.
I didn't care if either any of the girls won. It would have been fine either way.
Oh yeah, but it's like you really kind of wanted Sasha. But this, like you said, this match felt important. People cared about the outcome. It mattered about the outcome, not only to the fans, but also to the people in the ring. And if you don't believe me, go watch the fallout with Sasha after WrestleMania, where she's basically standing there crying, going, we made history. We did it. We made history.
It's all they could ever want.
It's all they could ever want, where it's, they got that moment in the spotlight. Just like if you see Sasha's reaction to them unveiling the women's title.
The women's title, just even her reaction just to seeing her on the stadium, where she bawled.
Yeah, I mean, this is important to these women, and they're now finally getting their due, and they went out there and they were given 15 minutes on, or actually a little bit longer, because I think they had like 20 with entrances.
Yes.
Something like that. So they basically got 20 minutes on WrestleMania to go out there and do their thing. And not only did they do their thing, they stole the show.
That they did. Before we move on, by the way, we all picked Sasha and we all lost on that one. Actually, one person picked Charlotte, and that was Subway. Just looking at the picks, everyone else had Sasha, except for a couple people had Becky. Want to bring up the set itself. We need to talk about the set before we move on.
Spider set does whatever a spider set does.
It wasn't the biggest set in the world, but it was a great set, because instead of being height-wise a big set, they used the stage perfectly. The stage itself was an awesome visual throughout the entire night.
I liked that the stage was a video stage, mm-hmm. and it animated and it moved with the video screens. And I'm not talking like the video screens actually moved, but you had simple graphics that went on the stage and went down the ramp. They did the video ramp that they did for NXT. They brought that in. And it was just, like Rock said, really cool visual. You had this giant black supporting structure for all the speakers and all the lights. And that's why I jokingly call it spider set, because it looks like this giant spider descending over the ring.
Because somewhere up there, it had to hide the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, somewhere had to hide the Hell in a Cell. They did a good job hiding the cell. They stuck it right up between the Jerrytron.
And their monitors, yeah.
But I like this set. I thought it was really cool how they incorporated the star. I love the video screens. It wasn't the biggest, it wasn't the grandest, but it was visually cool because of what they did with it.
Visually cool, visually stunning. It was perfect.
Yes.
Speaking of the cell, we now go to Hell in a Cell, which was rumored to close the show, but then it's like, wait.
We're doing this now?
We weren't ready for this now. We were coming off the high of the women's match. We were like, they're doing the cell package. Wait, what? What? They're not doing this now. Yes, they are. Oh, crap. They're doing this now. And I'm not ready for this. Not ready. Then the cell lowered without its own entrance. It had its own typical entrance, not a special theme. So there's that tiebreaker on that one. Shane McMahon, The Undertaker. First things first, Shane had an awesome entrance.
He made it rain in Dallas.
He did. Money flew from the sky. But the coolest part he did it with his kids.
Okay, I want to talk about this. I get his kids are probably wise to the business because his boys are older. They probably range from, I would guess, 12 to 8.
Maybe, yeah.
Somewhere, I think they're only about 4 years apart total. But, you know, not even knowing what was going to happen in the match, because it's Hell in the Cell, it's Undertaker, you know it's going to be violent-ish. The last thing is a parent that you would want to do is bring your impressionable sons down to the ring with you. Yeah, it's a really cool moment to have them, you know, walk you to the ring and just hear the crowd and see the crowd and experience what is WrestleMania. You know, it's kind of questionable to do that. It's really questionable to put them in the front row. Just pointing that out. I mean, you know, it's kind of, as a parent, you got to think about that, because his wife and his kids were front row, and his mother. We should point out his wife, his kids, and his mother were at ringside for this match.
Yes, this they were.
So it's like, okay, all right. But we need to talk about another entrance.
Okay, talk about it.
Taker.
So last year he came to the ring and he was straightforward, straight up jacket, nothing to it. What you've seen him wear it on TV the entire year he showed up. This year, Taker went a little bit different.
He had bangles. It's almost like he reworked the WrestleMania 30 gear a little bit, where they took the god-awful red off of it and replaced it with black.
Which made it look so much better.
Oh god, it looks so much better without the red. But he took all the silver bangly things off and just left a couple on the jacket, but he still had them on his pants. Which was nice. I mean, the pants were actually nicer than the jacket. They were pretty cool. But yeah, it emphasized that last outlaw thing that he still is kind of doing. But this was a Taker entrance for Mania. They had the smoke going. They did a really cool thing on the video stage, where I'd have to go back and see pictures of it, because it looked like they had him kind of in the video stage.
I'll have to go back and look at that.
Go ahead. I swear I saw a picture of him in it.
Okay, go back and look at that. But yeah, great entrance. They did it up. The cell was down. We went to our match.
Nothing happened. Good night. Hi, folks.
Good night, folks. The match itself was just okay. It will live and die with the one big moment. But we did see some of Shane McMahon's training with MMA, jiu-jitsu, and all that fun stuff come into play as he applied the triangle choke. He actually countered out of the Hell's Gate into a sharpshooter. The one moment where Shane drops an elbow, Taker sits up, and Shane's like, oh, crap. He got up. What am I going to do now? Crap. I am screwed. But we had the coast-to-coast, which you saw him in the corner. I was like, oh no, he's going to do it. He's going to do the coast-to-coast. He did the coast-to-coast. Didn't completely hit him in the face with the trash can. Just going by, it's like, oh, he didn't hit him in the face with it? Because the trash can just didn't move?
He hit him somewhere else.
He hit him in the Steve.
Hit him in the Steve.
Which has become the name for the thing now.
Listen to the NXT recap to understand that reference.
Yes. Then Shane figured, okay, coast-to-coast didn't work. Time to get out some bolt cutter. So he starts bolt cutting off one section of the cage. So it's like Shane McMahon learned from WWE 2K16 how you get out of the cage. Not through a door, it's through the side of the cage. And, well, Taker was up and drove Shane through said cage.
Yep.
And then Shane McMahon probably regretted his life choices at that point, because Taker just kept slamming him on the cage repeatedly, over and over and over again. So they're on the outside.
This is where everybody was going, oh god, here it comes. He's gonna jump off the Jerrytron.
So we mess with some announce tables. Taker's looking to tombstone him through an announce table, but Shane puts a sleeper on. Both men are standing on this platform thing right at ringside. Like, where are they gonna go? Where are they gonna go? And then Taker turns around and they both go back first through the Spanish announce table. And then Shane's like, Shane's not done. Shane is not done. The hold is broken, but Taker's down because he's the one who went through the majority of the table. And Shane grabs a toolbox, hits Taker in the head a couple times with the toolbox, knocks him in the head with a monitor, knocks him out of the table. Taker's down. Shane's leaned up against the cage. He glances up. At this point, it's like, Shane, no.
No.
Shane, do not do what we think you're going to do.
Oh, we all knew he was going to do it. I think everybody was calling Shane McMahon was going off the top of the cage.
We just didn't know how he was going off the top of the cage.
Yeah, it was like, is he going to get thrown off, or is he going to Yeah.
So Shane makes this slow climb up the cage. He gets up there. He sits on the cage a minute because it's like, oh God, I'm on the top of the cage. I have to do the thing now. I have no other choice. I have to come off the thing.
And keep in mind that the cage is 20 feet tall.
It's like 20, 25 feet tall. Yeah, it's a big ass cage. It's high up there. And he does the cross a few times. And he does his leap of faith. Taker moves. Shane McMahon crashes through the table. Crowd's like, holy you know what. And the best reaction is Taker just sitting there at ringside, leaned up against the wall. He's like, you crazy son of a bitch. You crazy son of a bitch.
Taker's like, oh my God, he actually jumped. Is he okay? Because, you know exactly what's going through his head. It's Vince's son. Oh, shit. It's Vince's son. Oh, God. Oh, God. Please let him be okay. Oh, he's breathing. We're good. He's breathing. But it's Vince's son. Like, you could just tell Taker was sitting there going, oh, my God. I am too old for this.
So when you mentioned the what you thought was Taker, that was on the bottom part of the screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is someone with an urn. I don't know if it's Taker or not, but there is someone with an urn. May have been Taker. Would make sense.
Might have been Bearer.
Might have been Bearer. No, I think it was too skinny to be Bearer. Might have been Taker. Could have just been a random druid thingy. But as you're talking, I have it on the iPad. It's like, oh, okay, that looks like it. Yeah. So it was someone with an urn. It might have been Taker. But it's a little too hard to tell. But yeah. So Taker gets up. Shane McMahon is up. He's begging for more. Taker lifts him up. Puts him on his shoulder. Has to drag his ass straight back into the cage. Throws him into the ring. Taker says bring it. Shane says bring it. Taker pats Shane on the head, side of the face, hits the tombstone. 1, 2, 3. Shane O'Mac loses, Undertaker wins.
Which was really, the pat on the cheek was what got me. It's like, I think Shane may have earned Taker's respect.
I think that's what it was.
And it was like, yeah, okay, kid, alright, you, because Shane's just taking a 25-foot fall, and he's going, come on, bring it, bring it, bring it, even though he's probably in unimaginable pain, and Taker's like, yeah, okay. We're not going to bring it anymore. I'm just going to put you away now. You're about to take a nap.
Mm-hmm. So Shane gets carted off. Hopefully the kids were taken to the back by that point.
I hope to God they...
Shane does...
Or at least, at the very least, they told them, Daddy's okay. Daddy's fine.
Yeah. He did the hero thumbs up as he got carted off. The ending was great.
I think we all knew, or we didn't really all have high expectations for this match, because it was...
Shane,
it's like, okay, Taker and Shane. This could be either really good or really bad. There's not going to be an in-between. And Shane is not what we would term a classic wrestler.
No.
He can pull moves. He can pull moves, and he can work. I'm not saying that Shane can't work, but it's been a long time since Shane has worked.
Yes, it has.
So you don't know what his real skill level is. And then, well, there's Taker, who is... Taker at this point. Takers will always be fantastic, but he's not the Taker of 10 years ago. So it's like, okay, this is going to be fun. And this was a good match. I wouldn't say it was a great match. I wouldn't say it was a show stealer, but Shane McMahon throwing himself off the top of that cage honestly made that match. Let's be real.
And Shane McMahon, we both picked him. 8-Ball picked the Undertaker. 8-Ball was actually right on that one. And I know the whole thing is, okay, so the outcome later, next night on Raw, didn't make any sense. Taker won, and then Shane's still in control of Raw. It's still like, okay, I get everyone's frustrations with it and stuff like that. It's like, what did WrestleMania actually mean? Think about it. We actually got what we wanted out of it. We got Taker winning, and we got Shane in control. I think that's a win-win, despite the logical loopholes.
I would agree with that.
They gave us what we wanted, just in the oddest way possible.
Yeah, I think there was that realization that, oh crap, we've booked ourselves into a corner, because we can't have Taker lose, but we can't have Shane lose, or we have to do something if Shane loses to make up for it. And they're doing that now. Whereas you had Shane come out, he shakes Vince's hand, he says, you were the better man, you won. And Vince is like, okay, fine, well, I'll let you host Raw tonight, and we'll see how you do. Kind of thing. Which, it sort of disrupts the whole point of the match.
It did, but I think there's a loophole. If I remember correctly, he never said, I don't remember, he had to beat the Undertaker, but at some point, I think the original idea was sort of like, if you want this, I'll give you the Russell one match. And that was against
the Undertaker. I think he had to win, though. The way that they were always saying the speculation was, well, if Shane McMahon wins, he gets control of Monday Night Raw. But if the Undertaker loses, then it's his last WrestleMania.
Right. Oh, I know. But there's always ways around it. But again, it doesn't matter. Shane's running things for the moment, I think, and things are fine. Though everyone says maybe this was Undertaker's last match, he gave up but the gloves, maybe that was a symbol of it. Who the hell knows? I thought it was odd that he was taking off his gloves, but we'll see.
We'll see how it goes.
All right, it's time for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I don't want to talk about this one. Bo Dallas had a jacket, a sparkly jacket.
He got all dressed up for Mania.
He did. All right, so we had four surprises in this one. DDP, Tatanka, Shaquille O'Neal, and Baron Corbin. One, Tatanka just came out of nowhere. Two, DDP got an interview. Oh, DDP, cool. Baron Corbin would just walk by the camera and say, oh, there's Baron Corbin. And then Shaquille O'Neal comes out at the end and is like, whoa, Shaq. So we had Big Show and Shaq. That was the basic story of the match. And for a while, everyone then eventually ganged up on them. We had a double chokeslam by Shaq and Cho to Kane. But they ganged up and they eliminated both men. Came down to, I believe, wasn't it Kane and Corbin, I think it was?
No, Kane was out. It came down to, oh crap, who did it come down to?
I forget who it came down to. I know Corbin got
maybe
rid of...
Maybe it was Kane and Corbin.
I think it was, because Bo was in there for a while. They did the Bo train, and then the reaction, Bo walked up to Kane's like, oh, hi, Mr. Kane.
Hi,
Kane.
Yeah, he tried to shake Kane's hand, and Kane was like, No.
And then he went and saw Baron Corbin, like, I'm kind of screwed here, so what am I going to do? Bo had the best reactions, flat out.
Bo kind of made that match.
Bo Dallas made the match. While the show and Shaq stuff was cool, Bo's reactions made that match. I'm not going to lie. It really, really did. Corbin ran up and tossed Kane from behind to win the match. So Baron Corbin won this matchup straight out of NXT. He was the surprise entrant in this one.
I kept telling you, it was a surprise entrant, the one that's going to win.
The one that's going to win. She had four options. She had four choices. She had four chances to win this thing.
Did I really have four chances, considering the fact that I had DDP, Tatanka, and Shaq?
Shaq's a big dude. Shaq could win. That would have been funny if they actually let Shaq win. Did you really think Baron Corbin was going to win?
No, I didn't. But when he eliminated Tyler Breeze, that's all that really mattered for me, so... Feel the glare.
So Baron Corbin wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
You just can't admit I was right.
You had four chances.
I had one. I had the one that won.
It's time for the most electrifying man in all of entertainment to come out. He was shooting fire. He had a flamethrower.
Who gave The Rock a flamethrower? Who thought that was a good idea?
He lit his name on fire.
Again, who thought this was a good idea?
The Rock. So we had the record-breaking number announcement by The Rock, because he finally showed back up to WrestleMania, and it was 101,762,000 people in this arena. Awesome. Now, legitimately, it was like 97,000 and change. Still, that's a great number.
That's a lot of people.
The gate was like $17.2 million just in ticket sales. 4 point something in merch.
Yeah, and those are just the preliminary numbers. Never mind the amount of income they brought to the city of Dallas. I know for when they came here, it was over $100 million in economic revenue for WrestleMania with all the food and all the hotels and transportation and everything like that. Yeah, Dallas cleaned up and WWE cleaned up on this one.
So The Rock, he was here to make history. He was here to electrify the millions and millions of fans. And it's now going to get good because the Wyatt family showed up.
I screamed.
She did.
100,000 fireflies. It was so damn pretty. So pretty. And Bray was so fluffy.
He had new gear. He had an apron.
With faces on it.
With faces on it. Eric had a new mask.
One looked like a Cabbage Patch doll.
Yeah. What do you think of Eric's mask?
I don't know. I need to see it up close, and I don't think he was... They weren't on Monday night.
Yes, they were. They didn't do an entrance, but they were on Monday.
But he didn't have the mask on Monday night.
No, because they showed up in an attack.
Yeah, so I don't know. It has horns. It's gray. He's a ram now. Maybe that Luke's out injured. Eric is now gone from a lamb to a man.
Maybe.
He's upgraded.
Maybe he was trying to be a Brahma bull. I don't know.
Maybe he was just horny.
Maybe he was. So
Rowan's need loving too.
Why he feels upright all the time.
I'm telling you, it's blatant. He just like, now that Luke's gone, he can just reach out and just touch Bray and just run his hand across him. Mm-hmm. It's so weird.
So Wyatt introduced himself to Mr. Rock, which I found hysterical every time he said it. He's not there as a friend or an enemy, but as a reminder of the truth that he chose the Rock. Wyatt said he chose Mr. Rock because he represents success and greatness. Wyatt got closer to the ring and Rock represents a lie. Wyatt said this is not Rock's moment. It's most certainly not its moment for the fans. It's his moment. He said he would eviscerate Rock and make his people watch every second of it. Rock said, talked about they'll make history, and they were talking about making history, and they're going to be Rock babies made, but instead Wyatt said that he's there to eviscerate Rock's soul and then go to Cracker Barrel. The Rock did his jokes. He made shots, took shots at Eric and Strowman, but at the same time, while he was making his jokes, he was scared of the Wyatt family, which I thought was good. And then he did something no one else does. The Rock says he knows who Bray Wyatt is. He had his eye on him ever since he showed up. He's been watching him because he has it all. Rock said Wyatt has the ability and the charisma. He said Wyatt holds the people in the palm of his hands, and the 100,000 people pulled out their phones when he walked out. Rock said Bray is knocking on a door he doesn't want to open. Rock said Bray likes to call himself the Eater of Worlds, but he's just an eater of Hot Pockets. There's more of the jokes. Wyatt said he wasn't there to knock on a door, but to kick one down. He goes, "You have no idea who you're fooling with, friend." And then The Rock had an idea.
Get it, Bray.
Rock had an idea. He removes his shirt and said, "This is not going to be a WrestleMania fight. They're going to have a WrestleMania match." And me and Lindsay went, "What? Wait, what? What? What?
What?
What? What's going on here? What? Are we getting? We're getting? No, no, no. We did not get the Bray Wyatt versus The Rock." But The Rock took off his shirt, took off his rip-away pants, and someone is going to get their ass kicked, their monkey ass kicked tonight. So The Rock goes toe-to-toe with Eric Rowan for 6 seconds and hit a rock bottom and a brand new record. But then the Wyatts regrouped. Bray Wyatt slapped Eric Rowan and they surrounded the ring. 3-on-1 on The Rock before they can attack. Doo 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 doo. John Cena shows up to John Cena Sucks. And they come in the ring. They fight off the family. Rock bottom to Strowman. 5-knuckle shuffle and an AA to Eric Rowan. Spinebuster, Sister Abigail attempt to Cena, spine buster, and a people's elbow on Bray Wyatt. "Welcome back," said The Rock to John Cena, as they chased off the Wyatt family.
So, this made me super happy that they got the Wyatts on the show. They found them something to do, which was awesome. You had Bray Wyatt go toe-to-toe with The Rock. The Rock sold Bray Wyatt, put over the Wyatt family. He acted afraid of them, but it wasn't that, "Oh, I'm so scared of you." It was that cautious, "Okay, I know who you are. I know what you're about. I know you're all here to kill me, but let's talk about this first."
Right.
Kind of apprehension and just The Rock had his hand up and he's like, all right, let's not do this.
Settle down.
And that was nice. Eric Rowan had a match on WrestleMania with The Rock. Nobody can ever take that away from him.
Nope.
I think a lot of people were upset about the Wyatt family basically getting shot down for Cena and The Rock. You got to focus on the positives on this, which is they found Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family something to do on WrestleMania. If you'll remember, Bray did have a match with Brock Lesnar. He got pulled from it and Dean got put in his place. Bray did not have a match, so they found him something to do. And when you're talking about a show where you could easily just toss them in the Battle Royal, they got The Rock. They got Cena. And coming out of it, you can have a feud between Bray and Cena.
And you had The Rock putting over Bray Wyatt.
Not once, but twice.
Yeah.
He put him over after Mania 2.
He did. It's like, that did a lot for them. They got beat up by Legend. So what? The Rock? Alright, I'm going to explain this one to you. The Rock could not take a bump because he could do something. He could physically do something to someone. But The Rock could not take a physical bump. Why? Because of insurance reasons. Why? Because he's an actor. Why? Because he's currently filming Baywatch. He can't get hurt. They're legit in the middle of production, which is why he was not allowed to actually have a traditional match on the show. If he wasn't filming the movie, he would have. So they did something with him. They got him on the show. He electrified the crowd. It was awesome. And the Wyatt family got a lot of people say, oh, they didn't get robbed. They got robbed. But that's just me.
I don't think they got robbed. I mean, it was what it was.
No, I said they got the rub. They didn't get robbed. They got the rub.
Oh, yeah. They definitely got a rub. And they definitely have big plans for Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family coming out of WrestleMania. So as long as they can pull them out of it and recover it, that's fine.
And again, on WrestleMania, when it comes to legends and heels, legends always go over. It's just the way it is.
Well, I mean, in terms of WrestleMania, I'd rather see, no offense to Eric Rowan, but see Eric Rowan take the loss over Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really how that goes, is I would rather see Bray get beat up and Eric lose the actual match than you have Bray lose.
And honestly, if Luke Harper was there, I don't think Bray would have taken the people's elbow.
No. If Luke was there, he would have taken it for Bray, but, well, Luke is sick. Luke has a hurt leg. We're not going to talk about it because it's very upsetting. So, yeah, that's what's going on there.
Oh, before, speaking of hurt leg, I forgot about something because we went past it. We got to circle back. Before we move to the main event, we have to circle back for this week's...
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
For this week's...
Oh!
Hashtag blame Brent.
We forgot about it on the women's match, didn't we? So, Brent, you were going to go after Boo-Boo. You were going to hurt him. You were going to maim him. And who did you get instead? Not a Wyatt. Oh, no. You got yourself a Becky. His other favorite, all orange everything, got a damaged eye. That's the best way I can describe it, that required stitches, and she's walking around with a pretty impressive shiner.
Yeah.
So go, Becky.
Yeah. There was another Blame Brent moment. Evelise. I forget her last name, but Evelise.
Yeah.
She is the other...
Hashtag Blame Brent.
...of the week. She screwed up her leg pretty badly. So there you go. Here's your Blame Brents for the week. We did not forget about them. Almost. But we did not. I would remember because it's sitting, the sound bumper was sitting there. But anyway, main event time.
Boo. That's all you heard.
That's all you heard. Roman Reigns, Triple H. Before we get to Roman's boos, Stephanie McMahon.
Holy crap. It was like, hey. I had a very strong reaction in the positive direction to Stephanie coming out like that, because it's like, all right, I'm digging it. You had Hunter's entrance, which Stephanie was on his throne. She was the Skull Queen. She's decked out in leather and boots. She's up there saying, basically, we own your ass. You know, being all authoritative behind her, you see nothing but yes men with their mouths plated shut. And then out come these skeleton men, all with the WWE title. And finally, the game emerges ready for battle, ready for war.
So, before we continue on that, here we go. The Skullmen. Hideo Itami, The Revival, Chad Gable, Simon Gotch, Chris Gerard, a.k.a. Bill Busick, or Biff Busick, Blake and Murphy, Enzo Mori, and Elias Sampson, along with Finn Balor, and the three NXT referees.
Because when you need soldiers, you go to your kids.
Which he did.
But it's cool that they incorporated him in the entrance, because again, they could have hired actors to do it, but it's like, hey, you want to get on WrestleMania?
Sure. So, this was an awesome entrance for Hunter. He always does it grand. Stephanie was badass. Just flat out badass in this one. There's no other way to describe it other than that. Roman came out. Of course, the booze. But his entrance was cool. He did the fist, and because of the screen, you saw things break up, and you had pyro and everything. I thought a Roman overall entrance was pretty solid.
I liked Roman's entrance. I like how you had him slam his fist on the video screen, and the Rock break away to reveal his symbol and his name. That was really cool. The pyro was really cool. I mean, yeah, they did it up for Roman's entrance. Because Roman really does have a simple entrance, and they haven't quite figured out the new one yet because he stopped coming through the crowd, so basically he just kind of walks out. And they don't know what to do with that yet. But they're working on it, and I thought it was fine. It was not as grand as Hunter's, but I don't think anybody could really, aside from Taker, really have that grand of an entrance.
Except,
I mean, for the love of God, Hunter had an army.
Yeah, you know, army. By this point, it's
again,
like,
for like the fourth year.
Yeah, but at this point, it's like, oh my God, this is 11:20. Oh my God, this is where we're at in the show. Holy crap, this is long. I figured, oh, we're going to have a quick match. Now we have about 20, 30 minute match. The match was fine. Hunter had a nice swinging neckbreaker off the announce table. He was learning some things. They brawled. They had some fun. Arm bars by Hunter. We had a spear through the barricade. They tried. The crowd at this point was sort of, it's been a long day for a lot of us. It's like we're at hour number 7. Yeah. So the show was going a little long. Match was fine. The big moment of the match, Stephanie ate the spear.
Which actually got the crowd back on Roman's side for a minute or two.
But then when Hunter had the pedigree, he took the crowd back. It was a 2 count. We had a Superman punch, spear, no, knee to the face, a 2 count. Sledgehammer finally showed up. 2 Superman punches, a missed sledgehammer, and a spear. Roman Reigns in the no DQ, yes DQ, who knows what it was match, is your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. The match was fine. It wasn't the greatest match. It wasn't the worst match. It was just at the very end of the show, it was like, oh my god, is this over yet? It's like, oh. By that time, it was like, you were exhausted from the show.
Yeah, the show actually moved really, really well up until this moment. And then this match, I think it was just because you had a lot of high-moving, high-impact matches, and then you got to this one, and this was much slower. The crowd reaction to Roman really didn't help. I mean, Hunter and Roman really did try. The match itself was fine. It was not anything to really write home about. I don't think Roman and Hunter necessarily have the chemistry together that people really should for this type of match, but it was what it was. It was a good, solid match. It was a little irritating about the crowd because it felt like they were just booing Roman to boo Roman.
Right.
However, when Stephanie ate the spear, he got the crowd back and they popped for him. And when he won the title, they popped for him and then they immediately went to boo. And it was kind of the mixed reaction all the way from the towards the end. But yeah, this was the moment where it's like, oh my god, it's 11:20. I need to go to bed. Can we please hurry this up?
And it didn't end for another 25 minutes. But
Roman Reigns got his WrestleMania moment.
And I'm sad now. I have to answer. Triple H movement is dead.
But it was a good run.
It was a good run, but I'm sad now.
I know.
It's over. No more movement. It sucks. Damn it. More Triple H movement. So sad. So sad. Shed a tear. Anyway, we both had Roman Reigns. We got that one right. Magic 8-Ball. Got that one wrong. He went with the Triple H movement. And in the end, that's WrestleMania. Entertaining. Very, very entertaining. Thought it was better overall for a lot of the entertainment aspects than TakeOver, which we'll talk about here in a little while. And then, well, before I get to that, what was your take on the overall of the show?
I liked the show overall. I thought it was a good show. You know, again, if you wake up with a hangover, you know they did something right. I don't think every match was the best match of the night, but the women delivered, Taker and Shane delivered, the ladder match delivered.
And we had cool moments.
And we had cool moments. And the title match at the end did deliver. It was just a lot slower than what had been going on. And plus, at that point, you're 7 hours in, they're already 20 minutes over, it's pushing midnight, and it's like, you really want to get into the match, but it's just you can't because you're exhausted from sitting here watching a 4-hour show, plus if you sat through both hours of the pre-show, it's too much. It's really too much to just sit here for 7 hours and watch it. So by that point, you know, you're tired, you just want this, you want it done.
That you do. When it comes to picks, a couple cleanup notes. Sheila P. and Tommy C. both went 5 and 6, but that was good enough to win a copy of Hustle, Loyalty, Respect, The World of John Cena. Both of you need to email me, media@wildtalkradio.com, with your mailing information so we can get the prize out to you.
Congratulations!
Oh, and Lindsay went 7 and 4.
What was that? I didn't hear that. What was that?
I went 4 and 7. Lindsay went 7 and 4. She was number 1 overall.
Go me! Because I'm awesome like that.
That she is.
But on that note, we have one more thing we have to mention before we get a break.
Yeah, we do.
And it's somewhat breaking news. And we hate to end on a sad note. We really do. But we didn't want to open with it and then drag everybody down. So we regret to tell everybody, because this is, again, semi-breaking news, that WWE Hall of Famer and legend Blackjack Mulligan has passed away today. at the age of 73. As everybody knows, if you've listened to the show or if you follow this stuff online, he had been suffering for a while now with various health conditions, including a heart condition. And unfortunately, he lost the battle today with it. So very, very sad news for the Mulligan family and for the Wyndham family. And we send our condolences and our prayers to them at this time.
Which led to WWE actually acknowledging the fact that Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas are brothers.
And their father is IRS.
Yep. Acknowledged on WWE.com.
Which, yeah, it's like, okay. And nothing's going to come of it, but I had this moment if I looked at it, and I had to look at it twice to make sure I was reading it right. And it's like,
wait, what?
Okay, so they did actually acknowledge that Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas are brothers. This is awkward. So the Wyatt family just got bigger?
Maybe.
Possibly.
Possibly. You never know. But I say on that note, we take a quick break, come back, and we talk to TJ Omega about NXT.
I agree. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling for Your Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And, of course, the fine folks over at Gerwick.net. Can't forget about them. I hope everybody enjoyed our WrestleMania 32 recap. I know we really enjoyed the show, but wait, there's more because we have one more show we have to talk about, NXT TakeOver. And before we do that, you have to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, somebody tweets, Kevin Owens. Hey, Kevin Owens. I just had hernia surgery. Can you give me some words of indifference, lacking compassion and empathy? And Kevin Owens replies, you're fine. Shut up. We see a picture, a very close-up picture of Kevin Owens standing in front of a sloth. And he says, taking some climbing pointers from the sloth. Expect me to fall asleep at the top of the ladder after I win on Sunday.
What else?
Somebody asks Kevin Owens, who's the sloth? The fat guy with the beasts? And he goes, haha, couldn't even get your own joke right. What a loser. Rusev, you there. Come to Access. I will sign your book, shirt, toy, your head, back, front arm, hand, your arm cast, leg cast, what?
What?
I'm pretty sure if I asked him to sign my what, he would get fired.
Lana wouldn't be happening if he signed your what either.
I'm pretty sure she would kick my butt.
Yeah, we don't need Lana kicking your ass. So please, please don't have him sign your what.
Well, thankfully, Access is over, so we don't have to worry about that.
But there's always next year.
This is true.
You can always stalk him in Nexus next year and have him sign your what?
If he's there next year.
Hey, are you saying that he could be gone next year? Is this a Rack exclusive?
Call him a shot. That's all I'm going to say. If Rob can do it, so can I.
But when you do it, will there be cake?
Maybe.
We should get him a retirement cake from WWE.
Depends on if it's on his birthday or not.
It's true. It's true.
Sasha Banks. You can be my girl, Bailey. Hashtag women's wrestling. And Bailey replies, I don't mind if I do. Smiley face. Because they're flirting with each other.
It's what they do.
It's what they do. That's all I got.
All right. The Godfather is a conductor, not just a pimp. Hashtag WWE Hall of Fame. It's true. Mojo Rawley, I'm right here with you, brother. I'm proud of you. This is your moment. No one can take it away from you. Hashtag Hype Bros at WWE. Brian Myers, a.k.a. Kurt Hawkins. Hey, I loved him first.
Fight, 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 fight.
Not SportsCenter. Stone Cold's Dallas 316 shirt is in honor of Dallas 3 wins and Tony Romo's 16 interceptions next season. Hashtag WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I took a shot. What do you want from me?
I was expecting at least one, because let's be real. It was in Dallas. I
know. WWE creative-ish. Kids, I want to make sure you have a great seat to watch Daddy get murdered, said Shane McMahon.
True.
Gus Ramsey. Undertaker's Fitbit says he's just added 432 steps. Hashtag WrestleMania. Kyle Lewis. Undertaker is going to beat Shane McMahon in front of his children, then beat up Shane with his own children. Hashtag WrestleMania. Hashtag Hell in a Cell. Bring me a booth. The Undertaker. Undefeated at WrestleMania. He's 2-0. New streak lives. See? He's on a new streak.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I keep 5 stars. Stephanie McMahon just took the queendom to a whole new level.
Yeah, she did. We just
talked
about
it. Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she did. Bacon, congratulations to my good buddy, hashtag deactivated, for winning the WWE Divas Championship. Fake Emmanuel. Overall, I thought hashtag WrestleMania was like the Dallas Cowboys. Starts off strong, but chokes at the end. Hashtag LOL Cowboys.
Taking shots.
That's number two. Fake Sports Center. Allen Iverson is going into the Hall of Fame. However, he definitely won't be practicing his acceptance speech. Because we're talking about practice, man. Practice. David Shoemaker. In case of emergency, break the walls down. Exactly what you do. Brian Alvarez. Now singing, hey, we want some beach balls. And he continues.
What's so rude that they got their beach ball taken?
Not just one. There were like three of them.
Man, security just does not know how to have fun.
Let's go beach ball. Beach ball sucks. Hashtag grow. Wade Barrett has been Sister Abigail this whole time. Hashtag secrets revealed. That'd be a weird Sister Abigail. Just saying.
I don't know if he could pull off drag. I mean, he's got the legs for it, but...
You never know. CZW fans tweeted Big E. Breakfast? Question mark with a picture of the booty-o. Big E replies, I'm regretting not taking the time to inscribe each booty-o with a life lesson, like a fortune cookie. That would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome.
But that, after all the shots, is Tweet of the Week.
Hey! And that is Tweet of the Week. Now I say we do a little NXT, and we're so lucky because joining us once again from WTR, the Omega.
My God, guys, I don't know why you make me be silent the whole show waiting for this, but like, man, I'm excited.
You're excited?
Yeah.
You could have jumped in the WrestleMania recap. Don't you want to talk about it again?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I want to go over that. The marathon that is WrestleMania 32 again.
It wasn't bad until the, they went over 11 o'clock and then everybody realized they had to go to work the next day. And then it's like... Oh my God, would you hurry up?
We did the podcast till 2:30 in the goddamn morning.
You don't have to work in the morning.
I understand this, but it was 2:30 in the goddamn morning. You went to bed at a reasonable time.
You can sleep in.
True. Doesn't mean anything.
You don't have to get up at 6.
True. But still, it was 2:30 in the goddamn morning. Anyway, let's get into NXT. And... This was an interesting show from top to bottom. Do we want to start with the dark match that aired on NXT this week, or we just want to go through it really quick?
I say we just go through it really quick. I mean, yeah. it was originally on the show. It got moved to a dark match. And, of course, we're talking about Apollo Crews, who made his Monday Night Raw debut, taking on The Drifter.
So, this match that was aired on NXT this week was basically an NXT TV match in front of 10,000 people. It wasn't anything special. It was a Drifter match. I really wasn't impressed with Crews, though. It didn't do much for me. What about you guys?
It was... Eh. Well, you were right. I've seen way better out of Crews. And Samson was just... Samson. He's a homeless man with a guitar thing.
Sorry. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't anything to write home about.
Which is, it is weird that like they would build that up and actually put a little bit of time into that... It was like some kind of feud for Dallas and then bump it to a dark match. But the way it played out, not a bad decision, I think.
No, it wasn't a bad decision because it wasn't much of a match. And if they aired it on the show, it was like, oh, that would have actually knocked this show down a few pegs because it wasn't that good. I don't know. I think it was partly because of the Drifter, but... I don't know, they just didn't have the chemistry you would think.
Yeah. For Crews, it was a really slow match.
I hate to say this because I don't want to take a shot at Elias Samson, but the character's so one-dimensional. There's really nothing to sink your teeth into about it. It's like, okay, you're a Drifter, you sing bad Johnny Cash ripoffs, and that's about it. There's nothing else really to him that excites you about him. It's like, yeah, he's good looking, yeah, he's an okay wrestler, but you know, why am I cheering or hating this guy? Other than he's trying to beat up Apollo Crews, why should I cheer for this guy? Where's Apollo Crews? He's bright, he's happy, he's exciting, he's fun. He's working his way to the top. His goal is to get to the top. And you want to cheer for somebody like that because it's like, yeah, go you.
And he,
so,
yeah. So one of the things we talked about last week when we were Breakdown's entire show was like, we were looking at the future and we figured, okay, when Finn Balor and Samoa Joe move up to the main roster and all that fun stuff, a guy like Apollo Crews will be there to take over, and he's gonna be one of the next future stars of NXT.
Oops.
Oops. Oops. We were wrong on that one, cause, he made it, just, as you mentioned, he was on Raw Monday, and he's on the main roster now. So much for that idea.
I think that's more because Balor isn't ready to come up. He's stated as much, even though I'm pretty sure they're gonna have him up no later than SummerSlam, but I think they wanted to get Crews up on the main roster as fast as possible. Vince likes him. Vince wants to use him. Vince wreaked just havoc on the NXT roster, and he's like, I want this person, and I want these people, and I want this one, and this one, and this one, and to send them up.
Gimme.
Yeah, he went toy shopping is what he did.
Yeah,
he went toy shopping because he doesn't have anybody, and all his stars are leaving. So now it's, okay, well, the roster is incredible. Depleted. We have Cena back, kind of, sort of. Rollins may be coming back soon, but Rollins is going to come back as a babyface. You have to get heels in there. You have to build your heels up, but you also need to bring in a couple babyfaces, which is what they did with Apollo Crews.
So, in the end...
Because I think Vince just really wanted him.
I think so, and I think that's been since day one. He's wanted him because he's a small guy, but he's jacked, and Vince likes his jacked guys. He's like Taz, kind of.
But at least he can work.
Yes, he can. So in the end... go ahead.
Unlike other people.
So in the end, he hit his spin-out powerbomb thingamabob and picked up the win. Take that, 8-Ball. We picked Crews. You took Drifter. Suck it, 8-Ball.
I think my favorite part of that match is at one time, Drifter counters a move on Apollo close to the corner, and Apollo almost crushes his guitar.
Almost.
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 The fact he came out singing just went, oh no.
Well, it is Dallas, you know.
Nashville, maybe. Not Dallas.
Not Dallas. No. So we now move on to the actual TakeOver event, which opened up with the match we didn't think would open up in that show, but it did. The tag team title match, the Revival against the American Alpha. This was a great opener for this show.
Didn't I say this might be the opener and you said I was wrong?
I don't remember.
If only it was recorded somewhere.
I don't know.
I wonder if we could pull the archives of that.
Pull it now before he remembers he can edit these things.
No, he doesn't even do that anymore. I'm right too much.
Really, really, really. You did this earlier during WrestleMania. Really, really, you gotta do this more now. Really?
I'm sorry. Who had the best picks out of everybody on the network from Mania?
I already said this once. I'm not saying it again. Move on now. Can we? Please. Please.
I'm still gonna get the I was right. One of these days, I'll get you to say it on the air.
One of these days. One of these days.
I'll trick you into one of these days, Alice. To the moon!
One of these days you'll get me. Anyway, I don't remember that part. Anyway.
Conveniently,
I know. Tag team titles were on the line. This was good. There was a botch spot in this match, which led to a botchamania chant. Which is becoming a regular thing at WWE shows now.
Well, Dolph didn't help by name-dropping it on live TV.
Yeah, that made the crowd very aware of it.
I follow Matthew, who does the Botchamania videos.
Mm-hmm.
apparently his Twitter lit up his phone so much, he's in the UK, so it was like 1 a.m. His phone blew up when Dolph mentioned that, and he tweeted out, I thought my brother was in jail again.
No, nothing like that. No, just Dolph Ziggler casually dropped your thing on national worldwide television.
In front of 4 million U.S. people, that's all. That's it.
Well, I think they're trying to work pop culture references in there, so it's like, you know, you had New Day mention AmBrains and fanfiction and Tumblr and all the dark, awful things go on there, and so yeah, it's like, the
Dolph's
like, oh, I...
Dolph saw an opportunity to troll a little bit because Botchamania is like one of those blacklists. You don't ever mention that show ever, ever, ever. He was so dedicated to showing when we screw up.
He was being edgy.
He was being, I don't really care anymore.
Basically. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to come out here and say it, and if they fire me, they fire me.
Yeah, I got a comedy career to fall back on.
Or an acting career, like he does in The Countdown.
No.
But he was so awesome in The Countdown.
Wait, did Shinsuke Nakamura and Finn Balor go on a date?
I'm not sure, but anyway.
Is Bayley upset?
Bayley's probably upset, probably.
Bayley has a lot of reasons to be upset.
She has a lot, and we'll get to one of them here in a bit. Fix that.
No! There.
So, they went on a date, apparently. This was good. What'd you guys think, Lindsay? We'll start with you.
I thought it was a good tag team match. I mean, it was, for me, it was an average Gable and Jordan match, which is fine. They're entertaining. They're good. I like the mix between the Revival and I want to call them Ready, Willing, and Gable because I like that name better than America Alpha, but American Alpha. I mean, it was a good tag match. It was a solid opener. It wasn't really anything that tore down the house, in my opinion. I think that came later, but I thought it was perfectly fine.
I think the crowd, Omega, sort of pushed this match up higher than it probably was.
Maybe. I mean, for face versus heel tag team affair, it was very by the books. You know, you had some good heel tactics to keep them from making the hot tag. Crawling under the ring. That's good.
That was a creative spot. Yes.
That's great. Yeah. I did like a lot of the wrestling in this one. Some of it more after I go back and watch it again. Cause apparently the chain wrestling and the pinfall counters, apparently that whole chain was, homaging different finishes from big WrestleMania matches.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. Yeah.
Which was like, okay, that's a really cool way to design that spot. Like, I have a lot of respect for that. But yeah, it's a pretty solid match. I mean, yes, it's very by the books, but there's really nothing wrong with that when the talent is pulling it off well, and I think they did great.
One of the other chants in this matchup was, which one is Dawson, which one is Dash? Because it is a real thing. They don't look alike, but they do.
And yeah,
like,
they do.
I can't tell which one is which. I'm with the crowd.
They don't have their names on their butts. They need their names on their butts.
Even then, we'll still be confused.
No, they need to play it up. They need to come out in shirts that say Dash and Dawson, but they need to have arrows that point to each other.
Are we going
to
get them doing twin magic now, too? That wouldn't be good.
Twin magic with people who look nothing alike.
It won't be the first time that's happened. Twin magic is a thing. People do, even though they don't look alike. I mean, the Bella twins do it. One has big ones, one has small ones. There's a difference.
Yeah, but they're not supposed to be looking at her big ones.
But everyone sees her big ones. Can you help not look at her big ones when she's there?
Considering who her boyfriend is, yes.
Anyway.
My eyes are up here. I couldn't see them.
Anyway, the American Alpha are your new NXT Tag Team Champions. We all got that one right. That's a good decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are on fire right now. The crowd's really behind them. It was a good time to put the belts on them.
Our next contest, but before we do with that, Jim Ross was in the crowd.
Random.
Random Jim Ross. Also, Kota Ibushi was in the crowd as well.
Yeah, looks good for the cameras, for the crowd. Hey, look, it's Jim Ross. He's here. He's evaluating our talent.
And so was Japanese number one announcer, Funaki.
Who didn't even get a name tag.
Poor Funaki.
Everyone was more excited for Kota Ibushi. Because apparently he's going to be in the Cruiserweight Open Series.
It's always nice when they kind of debut new talent like this. It's a good way of getting the crowd to gauge just how well known they are to a larger audience.
And we're going to go ahead.
It's a nice tease for things to come because that's how we first got Apollo Crews.
This is true. And we're going to talk about a former WWE World Champion appearing later in the show. Up next, Baron Corbin took on A-double Austin Aries, the greatest man that ever lived, who always likes a good rack.
Yes, he does.
Or so he says. This was good. Not great, but this was good.
You know, honestly, Aries went out there. Corbin went out there. They probably did the best that they could. Their styles completely clash with each other. Corbin's much more physical. Aries is much more Flippy. So they kind of met in the middle. They did the best they could. I thought this was fine. I mean, again, it was not a barn burner, but bless Baron Corbin. He just can't do that. You know, he can't match Aries move for move like some of the other people on that roster can. So you're not going to see that type of match. But for what they did, I thought it was fine.
I thought that was sort of my worry going in. We talked about it last week, sort of how this match would go down. It's like, it could be good or it could be just so-so. And I thought it was just, all right. It wasn't great. It wasn't one of the best Austin Aries matches we've ever seen. But he was Austin Aries. The crowd loved him.
Mm-hmm. Like, personally, for myself, I will admit the guy's gotten better, but my Baron Corbin scale only goes as high as pretty good.
And he needs the right opponent to be pretty good.
Yeah. Austin Aries was not the right opponent. It's a fine debut for Aries, and it shows him off without, you know, really overexposing him, because you've got Aries and Nakamura on the same roster now, Aries and Balor. You're going to have some amazing matches.
And what sort of hurt Aries is, because Baron Corbin's so big, Aries can't do some of his normal moves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in terms of Baron Corbin, he's got a great look. The gimmick somewhat works for him. But yeah, I mean, in terms, I like him. I think he could be more, but I need more character development. He's another one that's very one-dimensional to me. And Austin Aries is Austin Aries. So we all know Austin, or more or less, everybody pretty much knows what Austin's about. So yeah, I mean, Austin isn't the right opponent, like you were saying, but it worked. Got the job done.
And the leg clutch pin got the job done for A-Double as he gets his first win in NXT. Which, on that note, we all went with Austin Aries, so yay for us.
Jeez, I sure hope that Baron Corbin kid gets called up soon.
I know, right?
He just keeps packing up losses. I can't imagine him getting called up very fast.
Oh, man. We then move to match of the weekend.
Match of the year contender, for sure.
Definitely match of the weekend. Match of the year contender. Sami Zayn versus the debuting Shinsuke Nakamura. This rookie was amazing.
This rookie.
I mean, AJ's a rookie, so you would say Nakamura's a rookie, too. No, this was awesome right from the jump. The crowd was chanting holy crap right from the beginning. They were chanting holy shit, Nakamura, Zayn, and yes. And they didn't even touch.
Yeah.
Well, it's Shinsuke Nakamura versus El Generico. And that's surreal right from the start.
And I know Lindsay wants to talk about Nakamura's entrance.
I like Nakamura's entrance. I like his music. His music is very, very nice. Fits him. Taylor took Love is a little disappointed that we didn't get the cape and we didn't get the crown. I really want the cape. I really want that cape. That thing is fabulous.
Oh, you'll have title matches. I'm sure you'll see it.
I'm hoping so. But yeah, I mean, he walks out. He looks like he owns the place. He looks like he's a star, because he is a star. But he walks out and it's just like, yes. Because this is actually the first or second time I haven't seen a lot of Shinsuke Nakamura, so that's why I was really excited to see him. Is I have not seen a lot of him, so this was an awesome chance to see the flair and everything like that. And I like him. I think he's awesome.
There's a lot to him that takes a little bit getting used to. All the handshaking and gyration he does during his entrance.
Yeah,
kind of reminds me, honestly, of a Japanese Shawn Michaels.
Kind of. It is kind of a flamboyance thing. Especially when he's getting into the ring, he's that huge lean back howl.
Yeah,
like he has this natural magnetism about him.
He has a charisma. He's an X factor that just, yeah, it's like, oh, put him up on the main roster, just let him go. He's a star.
And over time, I think he'll be caught up, and they'll actually do some cool things with him. This match was hard hitting because, you know, strong style and everything like that, but they mixed it up. It was a little WWE style mixed with strong style, and these two men just beat the crap out of each other for about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. Actually, according to this recap, 20 minutes on the dot.
20 minutes and 7 seconds, according to Wikipedia.
Well, you suck, Wikipedia. Anyway.
You're ruining the symmetry!
Right? Damn you, Wikipedia. Damn you! You and your clock. But this was great. There was a one point we had the Fight Forever chant.
That was good. I've never heard that.
No. And this was the most aggressive I've ever seen Sami Zayn since coming to WWE.
If you're going to wrestle Nakamura, you have to be. Like, this match was as close to Japanese strong style as WWE and all of their, please, dear God, don't give anyone any more concussions right now. We have a lawsuit style goes. Mm-hmm. So, this was worked about as stiff as it possibly could, and Sammy had to give as good as he got in order to make it a convincing strong style match.
I was telling Lindsay as we were watching, it's like, this one was stiff, but safe.
Yeah.
That's a good way to phrase it.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell they were working closer than what anybody else normally would be, but they weren't working completely stiff, which was nice. Although there were a couple really good shots on both sides in this match. It was like, they're working pretty safe, and then whap! Ooh, that hurt.
Yeah, it's not strong style. We're like delivering rock solid headbutts to each other.
No.
But, yeah, this was a stiff match.
There was one point the fans were chanting, please don't tap, as Nakamura was struggling in the Koji Clutch. And then we had the Fight Forever chant. And then you know how Zayn likes to do that torpedo DDT as he dives through the ropes? Well, he tried it, but got kicked right in the head by Nakamura, which was great. Nice timing on that one. But in the end, Nakamura hit his knee strike for the win. Sensuke Nakamura with a good debut victory.
That knee strike looks like a Mortal Kombat fatality. That is a brutal hit.
Oh, it's brutal, right? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sick. It's absolutely sick. I love it.
There's the other spot in the match where... God, how... this is where I want a timer. This is what I want a time on. How long did they trade forearm shots?
I don't know, but it went for a while.
Yeah. That's all they did for, like, I think, like, 2 minutes straight at least, just trade forearms back and forth. And that's kind of a spot where you didn't think the crowd would respond, but they told a story with it, and it was amazing.
Yeah, I believe Nakamura was bleeding a little bit at that point.
I think so, yeah.
Was bleeding internally at that point.
I think he was either bleeding from his nose or he's bleeding from his lips, something like that, because I think the gloves came out in this one, so.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, right, he was licking at it.
Yeah.
But I think this is a fantastic debut for Nakamura. I think it's a great send-off for Zayn. And it's just, yeah, this is something I don't think anybody ever thought they would see in WWE. So thank you, Hunter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Going back to the very beginning of the match, because I just remember telling, like, right out of the gate, Shinsuke was taunting Zayn. Just sort of, you know, I'm going to touch you. No. I'm going to maybe circle around. And it's like, Zayn stands back. It's like, damn it, dude. Stop. Let's fight. Yeah, this was great. After the match, the crowd was going crazy. They're celebrating for Nakamura. He offered his hand to Sami Zayn. Zayn accepted, the two embraced. Nakamura left. And the crowd thanked Sami Zayn by singing a song as he left the arena for the final time.
Ole, 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 ole.
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 But yeah, that was a great send-off for Sammy, because that's his final match in NXT, as he's been a main roster call-up as well.
Well, he's technically been a call-up for a while, just on delay.
Yeah, about an eight-month delay, because he got hurt.
Yeah. Because he got a little excited on his entrance.
That he did. Yeah, this was great. There's nothing bad I can say about that match.
Mm-hmm. More?
More?
More.
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 The 8-Ball got that one wrong. We all got that one right.
Kenta, get well soon.
Yeah, I kind of can't wait to see Hideo Itami versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I kind of want to see it.
Yeah, I don't... And here's the thing. I haven't heard anything about Hideo, which is kind of scary.
He's got to be getting close.
I thought I heard something about him getting close to returning.
Last thing I heard was a couple months ago when he had a setback, so I don't know. So, well, that may have been in December. It went out in April, so he may be okay, getting better. And then we got Stephanie McMahon, the crowd, fans booed. Boo, the authority. And then we got to the NXT Women's Championship match. Bayley and Asuka. Crowd was hot for Asuka and Bayley.
The Japanese invasion continues.
Asuka had new gear.
I liked Asuka's new gear.
This match was outfit choices were that was a test of your color quality.
They used a lot of colors. This was a good match.
Oh yeah. Well, you expect that now.
You do.
Like I like that Bayley has gone from very humble origins to the point where it's like if she has a match, yeah, it's gonna be good. It's a foregone conclusion.
And you can tell how Bayley trained for this one as she was countering some of Asuka's moves into submissions. It's like, oh, look at Bayley. She's pulling out some submissions. Holy crap. Look at her do that.
I think she really raised her game because she knew she was going against somebody. And this is not a knock at any of the girls in NXT whatsoever, but there are the girls in NXT and then there is Asuka.
And it's a whole, it's
she's
whole,
on a whole other level, and
it's a different style too.
It's a different style, so I think Bayley really raised her game to be able to stand toe to toe with Asuka in this match, and be able to bring her a match that they really could both be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Asuka was the same way.
I think it's amazing how Bayley seems to have approached all of her big matches in different ways. Like she comes across as a champion who studies her opponent and realizes what the best tactics against them would be and how to actually defend her title against someone. You know, and this match was something I didn't expect out of a women's match, which was a clinic in submission wrestling.
Oh God.
Can you notice the five best girls on the roster all can do a submission?
Yeah. That's weird. Like there's very few girls anymore with a strike or a grapple as a finish.
I mean, Bayley's the Bayley to Belly, but she can put on the choke. She can put on a crossface. She knows how to get a submission in, even if that's not her primary finish, which is great for women's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like the men. They're wrestling. They're just not doing, ooh, I can do it. I can spin. I can twirl. I can do a kick. You actually need to be athletic, and you need to actually, know what you're doing in the ring, which is great.
But I can hit people with my butt, or I can jump up and they hit my butt.
Well, Asuka does it better than the rear view. I'm just saying. Nothing to take away from Naomi, because she is very athletic, and she can do a split leg moonsault too. So
Naomi's gotten better.
She has.
Naomi's gotten a lot better. Give her
Naomi's
credit.
She's calmed down quite a bit in the ring.
Yeah, she was really too quick for her at the beginning.
Well, then she added in this like. She added in this Chung Lee multi-kick thing now in the matches, which admittedly looks good.
Doesn't hurt, but it looks great.
Doesn't look like it hurts, but it looks good.
In this matchup, we went back to the guillotine choke, which he used against Nia Jax in London, which was a nice throwback to that match. There's great moments, great near falls, great drama, and as I talked about last week, this ended sadly the way I thought, where mm-hmm. with Bayley fighting and crawling and struggling and everyone going, No, Bayley, no. Especially Izzy. Poor Izzy.
Oh my God.
Oh God, poor Izzy.
Felt so bad for her.
Because her hero passed out in the Asuka lock.
But, I mean, really, you kind of almost had to have Asuka win this match. As much as I hate Bayley losing, it's you need to get Bayley ready to go up to the main roster because she's getting the call very, very soon. You kind of need to hand the title off to someone new because Bayley's pretty much gone through everybody in NXT. It doesn't make sense to continue to have her as champion if there's nothing for her to do. So now you crown somebody else as champion, which now puts Bayley back in the hunt. We all know how Bayley is in the chase. She's a lot stronger in the chase than she is in the title picture once she has a title. Not that she's had a bad title reign. It's just we built to that moment of her finally winning her first championship, and it was such a fantastic moment. And now it's okay, well, we want that again. We want to build to her next title.
Yeah, and it's been what? She had it for what? 8 months? 9 months?
She's had it since Brooklyn. So whenever Brooklyn was. SummerSlam?
Yeah, so almost 8 months.
Almost 8 months. That's pretty good reign.
Pretty good mm-hmm. reign. Pretty good reign for Bayley. Yeah, this was good. I enjoyed it. Just sucks that Bayley lost, because it's like, oh, Bayley lost.
That's such a good sign of character building. When you know what was the right move to make, and yeah, giving Asuka the title and letting them change up the title picture in the women's division, that was probably the best move. You know, especially since, yeah, like, I think they've got a rematch in them. So maybe one more takeover before Bayley comes up. If Monday night was any indication, they're not going to want to waste time getting her up.
That plan of holding her back a few more months may have been sped up just a little bit.
I'm shocked they didn't call an audible.
She was there.
She was there. I was really half expecting her to walk out because, you know, it's like, and that was great Monday night because you have all the divas standing there. They're bored except for Sasha and Becky, and they're both looking at Charlotte like, you bitch.
And then when Charlotte was standing in there and, you know, they're chanting for Bayley, she just smiles because she knows. Her girl's coming up at some point.
God, they were chanting Bayley. They were singing her songs from London.
I know. It's a thing. Like
it's scary how over she is.
And going back to the match and the outcome, it's like, we all... Here's the thing. A lot of matches we watch on Raw and SmackDown and everything and every other event, it's like, you don't care whether the person wins or loses. We all cared that Bayley lost. That's a great thing.
I like to point out a little girl was carried out of the arena, kicking and screaming and crying because her favorite lost.
I know. I'm just saying it just shows how much people connect to her that they don't connect to a lot of other people.
Yes. WWE, you are in the sound of my voice. Please, for everything that is holy, do not screw Bayley up. Please don't screw Bayley up. Hunter, protect her with everything that you own, including your children.
Yeah, by the way, the only person to get this one wrong was Lindsay.
Because I could not pick against Bayley. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, it was a great match for what it was.
It was. It really was.
I love the storytelling. I love her using the finishes of her other big matches, and because it tells the story of just how tough Asuka is, that she can pull out those things that took down, you know, Sasha and Nia, but it couldn't take her down. That pumps her up. And Bayley passing out to the choke rather than there's no tap out, no pinfall. It still lets her save some face, and you know, it's a great build up for a rematch.
Yes,
you know, you didn't make me tap, you didn't pin me. Let's do this again.
So before we get to the main event, the former WWE World Champion was sitting in the crowd. That former WWE World Champion, according to Facebook, was actual former TNA World Champion, Bobby Roode.
What the hell, Bobby? What are you doing there? Are you lost? Did you come to support Austin? I mean, what the hell?
I just told my tag partner was here.
Technically,
Bobby Roode and Austin Aries were tag team partners.
Okay, technically.
This is true. They were. Technically, they were. And I think Bobby and Joe were at one point, too. So, yeah. But yeah, Bobby, are you lost?
So, he was in the crowd. And the weirdest picture I saw all weekend was him sitting in the NXT bus as they head to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little odd.
It's like catching him right in the corner of the selfie. He's like, oh, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby. Hi. I guess you are part of the roster.
way to spoil that one. I loved the, again, because it's a good way of gauging the awareness of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, they were aware. I don't think Bobby was ready for that, because it's clearly one of those things where, okay, just stare at the ring like you're really focused and paying attention to what's going on. And he still had to look away when the chants fired up.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was soaking it all in, because, like, keep in mind, he was wrestling for TNA a month ago. AJ got out ahead of these, like, super dark times. He was off in New Japan by then. You know, Bobby was in those crowds with like 100 people, maybe, you know, that's bad. Like, I draw more people on my live streams than that every Tuesday and Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/TG Omega.
Shameless.
What network am I on?
True.
You whore. God. Well, if you think about it, this is probably the biggest crowd Bobby's been in front of in how long?
About 4 years ago in London.
Yeah,
I mean, when was the last time Bobby Roode wrestled in front of a crowd of 10,000 people or was in a crowd of 10,000 people? on the biggest wrestling weekend there is. I mean, it's, you can't compare.
Yeah, and all they did was show his face. It's not like they announced he was coming out, it wasn't in a match. He got a chant just for standing there.
So, we were watching the Bayley Asuka match, and I was reading Twitter as we were going along, and I tell Lindsay, so Bobby Roode just tweeted something. He goes, well, ... We're like, what are you doing, Bobby? You haven't tweeted in a few days. What are you doing? What are you doing? Takeover's on. What are you doing? And then, bam, 10, 15 minutes later, he was on TV.
I will admit, I was tired Friday night. I went to bed after Bayley and Asuka. I had to watch the rest of the show the next day.
Yeah.
And so I went to bed right after the women's match, and I come online the next day, and Rock's like, oh, yeah, so Bobby Roode showed up at a Takeover. I was like, aw.
Yeah, yeah. She didn't believe him. She didn't believe me. We made her go back and watch it, and it's like...
Yeah, I Googled it first, and then it's like, well, son of a biscuit, he did. And then you turn it on, and I went right to where I'd left off, and sure enough, standing right there in the crowd, Bobby Roode. So it's like, okay, this is getting interesting. And then apparently he was backstage at WrestleMania. He's backstage at Raw.
He was a trending topic on...
So something's up.
Yeah, he was a trending topic on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
He's backstage at the event, so it's like, Bobby, what are you up to? I think he got signed, and if he did, good on him.
Yeah, I think he signed, because they did an article on WWE.com. I was like,
Yeah. Like, well, now they've confirmed he signed like a week ago.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like, you know, he's fine, he's there. Bobby Roode's official WWE NXT superstar. It's like, you look at it, it's like, huh, good move for Bobby. Another bad move for TNA. Anyone surprised that TNA actually didn't run a show this weekend when every other organization ever did?
Because they probably couldn't get anybody there, or all their talent was already booked. Because I know GFW was there. I think they were running.
They were running part of another show, but yeah, they were represented. ROH was there. Evolve was there. It's like, oh, TNA just...
It was WrestleCon. Everybody was there.
Except for TNA.
Except for TNA, which is like, why wouldn't you be there? But you know who I feel really bad for in all of this? I do, but I don't. Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Because, one, he screwed himself. He royally screwed himself out of a NXT contract. Because basically he started all these rumors and he was trying to, you know, up his stock and kind of play WWE a little bit. And they found out and they were like, yeah, okay, look, we'll sign you, but this is all we're going to pay you.
He was playing politics. He wanted TNA to up their offer to re-sign him. So, well, I'm going to flirt with NXT for a little while. Here, you just go on. I'll be with WWE and them staring at, a rejected contract from AJ and going, about that number you wanted.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's Storm went back to TNA and it's like all his buddies are going over to NXT and it's like, oh, well, hey, I can't.
Yeah, he's locked in for what, 2 years?
He's locked in for 2 years, but we'll see how long it lasts.
That's what I was thinking.
Because, you know, we all know the story with TNA. We're not going to get into it here. I don't want to start rumors or anything like that. But yeah, it's... And again, I don't understand why he did that. It's like, yeah, we'll pay you $200,000 or whatever for 2 years, guaranteed, but they have to be running shows. They're not running shows, so he's not getting paid.
And he got pulled from an appearance... Because TNA had to send him to an event. Same with EC3. EC3 had an event he was going to do this past weekend. They pulled him to go to some events. Like, you're pulling these guys and they're not letting them make their money. That's kind of sucky.
It's like, you know what? Okay, so WWE lowballed you. They offered you a six-figure deal, low six-figure deal for a year. You know what? You're getting paid. You're working because WWE runs house shows. For NXT, they run live events, they do takeover, they do TV, so you're going to make that money, and it's guaranteed money. You know you're going to get paid.
And not to mention, it's exposure. So if you go back to the indies, your star is bigger than it was before. And you're paying the price for the opportunity.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Okay, yeah, they're willing to pay you $100,000 for a year. So say your stock really goes up. Say you get really over for NXT, you get really popular, you become the top person in that company that year comes up. Oh, hey, well, now I want 500K or whatever it is. You know, it's then you have the discussion then because you've proven your worth.
To you, to them, you're an unknown commodity that they're taking a look at. So you have to prove your worth. Are you just going to take the contract and just sort of, you know,
yeah,
not do much and just sort of earn, you know, sit back and just rest on your laurels? No. You got to earn that money in NXT and, you know,
prove you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we had a guy who went straight from a loss on NXT one night to a couple nights later, a win at WrestleMania.
Yeah. So it's kind of one of those things. And I think what Storm wanted, they weren't willing to do, because I think he wanted to be like a trainer or a coach or something like that and a part-time wrestler, and they just weren't willing to do that with him. I think that's what it was. That's what I always heard, was that he wasn't wanting to do the full gig.
No, he didn't want to do the full gig, if I remember correctly. His pitch to them was to be a trainer / wrestler.
Which they have all the trainers they need. They really don't want another trainer. And it's like, for if you're walking in saying, yeah, I really don't want to do the full thing, it's like, well, then why are you here? You know, they don't have any trainers / wrestlers there. You're either a trainer or you're a wrestler. You never see the NXT trainers on TV unless it's a takeover, and then it's they're in the crowd. But, you know, you don't see Matt Bloom wrestling. You don't see Lita wrestle. You don't see Adam Pearce wrestle on NXT TV.
No, you don't.
So it's like, that's kind of, it's like, no, you're either one or the other. But yeah, I don't want to get too into it. But yeah, I think Storm majorly screwed himself.
So Bobby Roode was on TV for less than a minute. We talked to him about for 15 minutes. So let's get to the main event. Samoa Joe challenging Finn Texas Chainsaw Massacre Baylor for the NXT title. First, Lindsay, his entrance.
Oh my God, the entrance! I don't know who it was that got Dean Ambrose and Finn Balor chainsaws, but thank you. Thank you for that. That was awesome. I wasn't digging the blue on Finn, not gonna lie, but I liked the entrance. I did miss the over the top body paint. He was really simple this time. Like, really, really, really simple.
Which is kind of strange for WrestleMania weekend. Like,
go ahead.
You'd think between paint and outfit, this would be, like, of all times to go as over the top as he could get away with.
I guess, but at the same time, it's like, I think he kind of held back a little bit too, because it's like, okay, it's WrestleMania weekend and you can't outdo the main roster.
Yeah, tell that to Zayn and Nakamura.
That was different. Zayn was like, screw it, I'm just going to go for it. Balor, on the other hand, has a little bit more time in NXT left. But no, it's, and also it could have been timing too, where it's just because I think, you know, obviously that body paint takes hours to do. And I would guess since they got there on Friday, and they had to do it that day, because they would have either come in, actually I think they came in Thursday night, so they probably didn't have a lot of time to get him prepped and get him painted. So it was just kind of like, okay, well, we're just gonna do something really simple, and it can be what he wanted to.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where I felt like the chainsaw came into play too, because, you know, if you're gonna do Leatherface, there's a lot more accoutrements and outfit they could have done besides just hand him a chainsaw.
True. But I think they more wanted to hint at it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'm pretty sure that Bray Wyatt was going for Leatherface too at Mania, so, you know.
I'm pretty sure that's just Bray in his Sunday best.
This is very true. So, at this point, we have to stop, clean ourselves off, and then continue, because there's blood. There's more blood. And more blood.
Oh, no.
And a little bit more blood.
And somebody got kicked in the Steve.
Someone did get kicked in the Steve. Headbutted in the head, made it bleed. They were chanting FPG. Let them fight. Yeah.
Yeah, that chant made me really happy they got Izzy out of there.
Yeah.
Young ears, run.
I kind of have to throw this out there now. The whole FPG thing, because, you know, of blood, it's not what has nothing to do with PG. So everyone's aware.
No, that's a safety concern.
Yeah, that's a safety concern. So anyone who was complaining about, oh my God, it's PG, and they wouldn't have done it in the Attitude Era. Well, the Attitude Era is 1998. We now know different things in 2016. So, yeah.
They don't like showing blood. I mean, during recaps on Raw and such, you're still going to see them go to black and white if someone bled during something they have to show a clip of. And, yeah, they prefer to clean them off and, you know, dab off the blood and so it doesn't show on TV because, hey, it still is a family-friendly product and we've got a board of directors that we have to, and stockholders. We don't forget the stockholders.
Right. And people complain, oh my god, Roman Reigns bled on Raw, but they can't let Samoa Joe bleed? Real. Fake. Real. Joe. Fake. Reigns.
Yeah. Hemoglobin.
For effect.
Corn syrup.
You know, that sort of thing.
And also they're doing it for Joe, because he's getting the blood in his eyes, it's making him difficult for him to work, difficult for him to see. Yeah. So they're really trying to clean it off, so Joe can continue with the match. Because it's, you know, back in the Attitude Era, you saw the red masks and everything like that, but you hear wrestlers talk about it. It makes it incredibly difficult for them to work and see and really do anything. Looks great on TV. It looks great for the crowd, but they can't do anything with blood in their eyes. So it's more they're trying to clear the blood off of Joe so Joe can work.
But the only complaint would be they should have got the guy out there with the Vaseline just there a little bit earlier.
Yeah, a little bit earlier. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is.
I think the refs need to be at least aware to the point where if they dab off the blood and they see, like, 30 seconds later, okay, yeah, that's still gushing. Like, instead of, like, stopping the match, you know, 4 or 5 times, because, like, I don't think it would have been so bad if it didn't just keep happening.
Yeah, they couldn't get it under control.
You know what? You know what? Call a quick little audible. Like, stop the match. Get Joe down and, like, just stop everything for, like, 2 minutes. And if you want to keep the crowd interested, just, like, have the referee relay a couple messages and, like, send Baron Corbin down to beat up Balor, you know, while we're waiting. Just to pass the time and make it seem like this is part of the act. Like,
or send out 5 doctors and have them all corner Joe in the ring. And, like, we're forcing you to get cleaned up.
See, that's a scenario where you need someone that in a fake doctor's uniform just to take a beating at the end.
Yeah.
But besides all that, the match was fine. It took them a while once they stopped and started to get their pace back. But they came out firing. And this was a good match overall.
I didn't think it was as good as London.
No.
I will say that. I did not think it was as good as London, but it was still a good match. But the referee stoppages really kind of took a lot out of it, because it's like you just get into it and then they stop the match. You get into it again, they stop the match. So it was really hard after a while to continue to get into it, because it's, you're sitting there going, are they going to stop it?
Or are they going to let this continue? And we talked about earlier, as Mega brought up, with the Jordan Gable match where they played into an early WrestleMania finish. I forget which WrestleMania this was that they did this finish from, but I do remember the match in my head, which was Austin Brett from Survivor Series 96, they did this exact finish, where you do the flip roll out of the submission.
But it was a nice finish.
It was. Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice finish.
This was a great match. Again, not as good as London, but that had a lot to do with the stop-start, because they just couldn't find... It had a hard time getting their groove from where they came, because they came out firing right away. And it was like, okay, they're going to keep this pace up, we're going to be in for a treat. And just sort of took it down notch because of the stop-starting. At least to me.
And you could tell it was supposed to be firing all cylinders like that. I mean, especially after they saw the matches that came before. Like, mm-hmm. You have to step it up. Like, you have to go all out if you're the main event after Nakamura and Zayn.
And Bayley and Asuka.
Yeah.
I mean, you really do. You really, it's like you're going on last. You're going to leave the last impression. You really have to step it up. And I think Finn and Joe tried. It made it difficult with them stopping the match repeatedly.
So in the end, Samoa Joe loses, Finn Balor retains, which we all got correct on that one. Overall opinion on the show, guys?
I thought it was good. I don't think it was as good as some other takeovers, but it delivered. It was solid. It was enjoyable. I liked it. I thought it was fine. What about you, Omega?
We do have a couple matches in there where maybe the opponents could have been a little bit better. I mean, we talk about Aries and Corbin, for instance, but that's a debut match that shouldn't showcase everything yet. Besides that, I was really happy with the card. I really, really liked the matches. Everyone was trying their best to give it their all, you know, because, you know, we got WrestleMania coming up in a couple days. You know, you can't really hold back at that point. yeah, I was happy with the matches. Bayley and Asuka was great. Zayn and Nakamura was insane. And like, once they got their pace together, I was happy with Joe and Balor too.
I don't think I like this as much as I say Brooklyn, but this was up there with London, I would say, because London was a good show. I'd say this is in the top three or four of NXT specials.
Brooklyn's really hard to top.
Yeah.
Because of what all went on Brooklyn, it's very difficult to top.
Yeah. Like, for me, that's almost benchmark for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the first special, I think, outside
of
Full Sail. That's when they took it to a full arena. They sold it out. It was SummerSlam weekend, and everybody was like, okay, this is our chance to prove to everyone that we can hang, that we are not just the C brand. We're not just developmental. And they went out there and they stole the damn weekend. A lot of that is thanks to Bayley and Sasha. A lot of it.
Yeah. So, in the end, I think Omega got everything right. I got everything right. She got one wrong.
Can't pick against my girl.
A-Ball, I think, got at least one couple wrong. At least two wrong. Yeah, A-Ball got two wrong. See, I had to just myself. The intern did not give me the picks. Slacking intern, I swear to God. But yeah.
We're gonna have to bring that up in his performance review.
God. You'd think he'd show up to work at least one day.
I know. We should actually one week give him a performance review. Segment idea.
Oh, God. Sorry, Brent. Sorry.
But with that, I say we're done for the evening.
I think we're done. So big thanks to everyone for sticking it out with us through this very long show and listening to our review of WrestleMania and NXT TakeOver. And, well, Rock, you have stuff to plug.
Oh, yes, I do. Check out the Rock Extra Total Divas Season 5, Episode 12, which was very, very emotional, as it were.
Drama.
And drama, but emotional because of things. Check that out. Saturday night, midnight-ish, at CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter, and Rob says he will actually be awake. I'm coherent for this week's show, so he says we'll see about that one. Kill a man on his birthday. Wrong on many levels. Talk about it Saturday night.
You celebrating your way, he celebrates in his.
Yes, he does. Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern is Russell Talk Radio with the guy on this call and Tim Stein and Heartbreak Mike will be the new co-host now that Mace is gone. So it's 10 p.m. Eastern, Russell Talk Radio at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter.
God, I'm finally veteran on the show.
Yes, yes you are. Then you are. Monday Night Raw post show 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Recap everything goes down on Monday Night Raw. We'll be back right here next Thursday night 10 p.m. Eastern for another edition of Rack. This show is on Twitter at Rack Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rack Radio Show, the website is RackRadioShow.com, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. And I have another new plug I have to make.
Oh God, another one?
We have a new plug.
We're going to overload the power strip.
I know. But I was told, I was asked by our good friend of YouTube.com/MBG1211, Matt Goldberg, to plug this. He now has his very own store where you can buy shirts. You can go to ProWrestlingTees.com/MBGFilms to buy Matt Goldberg shirts. So go buy him and support him. So it's ProWrestlingTees.com/MBGFilms.
Hey! Omega, you got stuff you need to plug.
Speaking of guys who do toy videos, see, all of my stuff can usually be found online under TJ Omega. The exception is Facebook, which is TJ Reviews, but Twitter is TJ Omega. The website is tjomega.org. The YouTube channel is TJ Omega, where there is new content every single weekday and possibly expanding to every single day because I'm a glutton like that.
And finally, I have stuff to plug. Everybody, please go check out our very fine sponsors, pwmania.com, tnaasylum.net, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/mbg1211, and also the very fine folks over at gerwick.net. Can't forget them. So for Omega, for Rock, because it's weird having two people. I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.